Sci-Fi.
Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio produced podcast that has been described as two dudes and a guest doing their best. Thank you, Arlo1917 on iTunes. If you have a five-star review, leave it on iTunes. We'll read it. I got one more.
I like that little rhyme. Go on.
One more and then I'm out. You want to hear the rest of it?
Yeah.
Drinking and sometimes talking about stuff. Okay. It gets less flattering. It gets less flattering as it goes on.
You should screen those next time.
No, well, that's why I stopped. Also, I kind of like that people are like, it's fine. They do. They do their best. It's,
you know what that is.
Whatever.
Yeah, they sure do record that.
Why don't we welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend from, you know him from the Thundermans.
Hello.
And Nerd Poker.
That's right.
Chris Tallman.
Hi. Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm a little embarrassed because I didn't know that you were on Nerd Poker.
Oh, that's a newer-ish thing. I've been a fill-in guest when people were away, and then I started doing it full-time within the last year.
Okay.
I don't know exactly when. But yeah, it's super fun.
I've recently met Brian Posehn a bunch of times, through a mutual friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great. And then Blaine Kapach, I worked with him on Web Soup. He's a comedy sort of legend in this town.
I get to sit across from him. It's the most fun.
It's the most exhausting thing you've ever done.
I love
fun-zausting.
I mean, it's anytime we have to, because, Dungeons & Dragons, there's so much nerd rules and things
Yeah, yeah.
So inevitably, every episode, somebody has to stop and look up if I do have wings, how high can I fly against the fire monster? And so Blaine fills in every one of those holes. He just has comedy.
He knows all that shit?
No, he fills in while we're looking it up.
Got it. Yeah.
He'll just riff and do gags and jokes, and it's the best. I'm sitting at, all those people are the funniest.
Did you play D&D as a kid?
Or? I did. I played D&D. I was as a kid a big nerd. I wanted to escape. I wanted to get away. So anything.
And nothing has changed.
Yeah.
What city did you grow up in?
In Madison, Wisconsin. The Athens of the Midwest, they say.
What?
I don't know.
Is that real?
I heard it, but when you're a kid, sometimes you just hear things said about your city and you don't know, is that a real thing?
Man, I don't even know how to contextualize that.
Wait a minute.
You broke Willie.
What is the universal vision of Athens?
Yeah, I don't have one.
Why would that be in the Midwest?
It's a weird thing.
The Athens of the Midwest.
We don't have the marble. We got hay. What? I don't know what that means.
You mean the foundation of government and civilization as we know it?
Sort of.
Wisconsin?
Sort
of. I guess. I don't know. But I'm saying, there could be plenty of people who actually know things about Wisconsin being no, that's not the saying, you dumb. So I don't know.
I just knew it as cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the Mathmen.
Cows, Mathmen's. Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Fonzie, Ooh. Laverne, Shirley.
Is that where it took place?
Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley were set in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wow.
And then Mork, when he visited, initially was there, and then they moved him to contemporary modern
Boulder.
Boulder, yeah.
Oh, there's a time jump there. That is so weird to me.
I've been to the Mork house.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
How was it?
We grew up about 30 minutes north of that in Loveland.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So it's funny. I never went there until I visited last year. Well, let's go to the Mork house. How come I grew up next to this? Didn't know. Because we used to watch it.
It's also insane that they were it's set in Boulder. Send a crew out to Boulder. Find a house. Shoot the house. Why wouldn't they just find a house anywhere?
The Brady Bunch house?
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe at the time. Because it was a Gary Marshall show. And it was not Gary Marshall's first show. It was probably his fifth or sixth hit. So if he was saying it's shot in Boulder, they probably send a crew to Boulder. Get some exteriors.
Use my jet.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
What if Mark leaves at some point? Do we have to fly out there and shoot him leaving? What if he leaves
that's
the
what's
house?
Funny. They never did that.
Oh, yeah, no,
they
no,
don't
the,
do that.
The exteriors are character free. No, no, that's just a house. You pay some person, I'm assuming, like $4,000, and, you know, you sign a contract, and right. Hey, our show, our house is now the
now
house.
It's famous.
They have no idea now we have what to deal that with entails. Because, like, the Brady Bunch house is famously, like, get the fuck out of here. It's painted. They put a fence up. They give you, they'll come out of their house and talk shit to you.
But, you know, they bought it now. They sold it. It was in
recently
in a minor way within the news. Within the last year, they put it up for sale, and a mysterious, it's now been revealed, but a mysterious unknown person bought it, came in with a huge oversized bid at the last minute, and it turned out to be like HGTV.
Wow.
And so they're going to do like a Brady Bunch restoration
they're
to
gonna
the house.
It.
With, I think, bringing back the cast members to help with the restoration. It's like going to be like one of those.
Just okay. Completely ruin its value. They're gonna set it back like $1 million by making it look ugly again.
Oh, they're going to make it like 70s shag carpety?
What? Wouldn't they?
What would
wouldn't
you
they
do, Wade?
Turn it back into...
What would you make the Brady Bunch house look like?
If I owned that house?
Yes.
I would sell it and move home and none of you would ever hear from me again.
Oh, wow. Are you leaving?
God willing.
It'd be funny if they rented out the Brady house and there were just some random new people to LA that didn't know they were living in that house. That'd be a good show, right?
That would be interesting.
Why are these people taking pictures of me? I know I'm a good actor, but I haven't done anything yet. I don't know if that was a boy or a girl.
But that's part of the charm of that character. We don't know. Yeah. The listener gets to decide.
It's dealer's choice.
Yeah. Old or young, maybe alive. Maybe it was a ghost. What if it was a young ghost?
All right, let's not get into ghosts yet.
Well,
Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, robots and artificial intelligence. Every time they open their mouths, they talk about world domination, killing humans. Is this bad programming, or is AI going to kill us?
All right. So every time?
Well.
All right.
Wow. Arguing the premise at the top.
Yeah, it's not that
really
time.
I don't think we're going to do that one.
All right, let's do the WoW scale. WoW scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's on a scale of 0 to 5. If you're a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're a 5, you're more of a Willie. We set it up that way to insult me weekly. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
First,
uh-oh. You
said it so cheerfully.
Yeah.
The first question.
Well, we have to give us somewhere to go. I have to be happy when we begin, so that way by the end, when I'm furious, then we've got
fist fighting.
Yeah, us shirtless on your lawn, trying to kind. And Will's like, you guys aren't really punching each other. You're more sort of breathing hard and leaning on each other.
I didn't have a brother. This is how I fight. First question, 3-part question.
Ooh.
I'll ask all three, and then you can answer in the correct order.
Ooh.
Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the modern era, like the last 200 years?
Mm-hmm. I don't think there are aliens, but I want there to be aliens.
Okay, wow.
Wow.
Because everyone says yes, because the universe is so big.
Here's the thing. If there was, I went through this, a version of this, a while ago. I was sitting on a couch similar to this with our friend Dan Harmon. This is a while ago, back when, remember there's that guy John Edwards, the like psychic guy on Sci-Fi Channel?
Yeah.
I think one night it was late, we were watching that, sitting on the couch, and I was just like, do you think that's possible? Could any of this be a thing? And I remember just the withering look he gave me, and he was just like, do you actually think that if this was real, tomorrow every newspaper headline would be screaming, man can tell the future. Like, he was like, if you think there was anything like this was real, wouldn't we be screaming it from the rooftops? Holy shit, there's angels, you guys. Oh my God, in heaven. And I just like, every time I think about this, I'm like, yeah, I know. I want it to be.
Yeah.
I want there to be a Star Wars bar, mm-hmm. You know, with a
oh, there's one. It's in Vegas.
Oh, but you know, oh yeah, and there's one coming to Disneyland too. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But like, I want there to be all that stuff, but I think in the truth, there isn't. That that's why I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
So could if aliens actually existed, of course they would have done something here, but I just don't think it's real.
Can I just a quick aside from the WoW scale? Are you afraid of Dan Harmon?
Am I afraid of him?
Yeah.
No? Are you afraid of him?
Yeah, sure.
Why? Totally. What happened? Did you guys have a fight? Uh-oh.
No, just he... You're more friends with him than I am. He was always like my superior.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he starts yelling at me in a social context like that, I'm like, oh, fuck, he hates me.
But do you think he really hates you?
He could. People
but
do.
Because, well, that's a whole other conversation.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. I have a healthy fear.
Really?
Well,
in the way that you want your friends to like you.
It's because I have high expectations for. I mean, I get stressed out thinking about how. It's like, listen, I know I'm funny, but. When I'm around Dan Harmon, I get kind of clammed up, and
sure, I understand. Yeah, it's when you're hanging out with the funniest people in the world, all I want to do is just like be quiet and kind of go like, right, guys?
Exactly. It's funny.
I don't want to ruin the drum circle. Like, I just want to be quiet.
We've like developed two shows with him that didn't happen, but even in those situations,
Wade. That's a Wade.
It was like I can work, but still be scared.
Haven't I been kicked while I was down enough?
And this began because you started by putting yourself as the kickee. You're like, Dan hates me.
No, I like to hear that you're not afraid of him because that makes me go, oh, I shouldn't be afraid of him. He just yells a lot at everybody. It's not just me.
My thing is that like I think that he's so intelligent, and I like to be. I think that I'm intelligent, but I also know how stupid I am.
That is a hard thing.
Extreme. And so I'm like, I feel like, I mean, the thing is that I always want to somehow impress him. That's what it comes down to.
Sure. I feel that way too. It's like, yeah, you think like, oh, I'm capable of maintaining a conversation with people and getting along. And then you say something like with, that I was saying, like thinking, do you think the Magic Man show is real? And then him saying that and you kind of go, what the fuck is wrong with me? What the fuck is wrong with me? But again, I don't think that's anything he's doing. It's just someone flashing a spotlight on your own moments of dumbness, like
and it's a harsh spotlight.
Oh, it is. It's hard to let in how dumb we really are.
Oh yeah,
I agree with that. That is a rough one to let in.
All right, sorry. That was just a little therapy.
Oh wait, and to just further get on that first, I just want like when we first started going to Channel 101, Time Belt. Was the fucking best show in the world.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thanks. I love doing it.
I remember that, like, you were the first person I ever saw on the streets because it was, you know, I.O. was next to...
Yeah!
I was like, I was so nervous. I was like, the Time Belt's the best show ever. And I started walking away as you were like, hey, thank you. You started to... I just kept walking. I was like, okay, I did it.
It's hard. It's hard. But thank you for saying that. But it's hard being with, you know, especially in L.A. when, like, we're all trying to... make our things come true. Like,
right.
It's hard because you have to kind of remember, like, nobody comes to LA to fall in love, right? Nobody's coming here because this is where it's going to head. Everybody's coming here with a very specific sort of similar type goal. And so it's hard, especially when you
tried to network at a fucking party that we were both at. And I hate talking to famous people. I avoid them.
Strike one.
Well, no, I avoid them because I feel like they get approached a lot by people who have nothing to say.
Yes.
And I don't want to be that guy who has nothing to say.
Oh my gosh, there's nothing worse than being like, here I go, telling them the same thing they've heard 35 times, but I don't know what else to do.
But I was trying, I won't say his name, but I was trying to like tell this guy about a project that we had written with him in mind.
Wolverine. Was it Wolverine?
Who's Wolverine? Fuck.
Who's Wolverine? Oh, Wade.
His name is escaping me. It's
no, not Hugh Jackman. I'm saying Wolverine.
Oh,
is that who you're thinking of?
Well, yeah, because all superheroes are real and they all live in L.A. and we're keeping it secret.
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome.
So I was probably too drunk to be doing this.
You gotta stop that.
What?
Sorta.
Stop what? I wasn't too drunk to be hanging out with you.
Yeah, you're right.
We're cool, though.
I'm lucid. I'm a lucid drunk.
I always wonder if I...
I think it was more about getting my thoughts ready, and I was like, okay, I need to say this, I need to say this.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to say, I wrote on Rick and Morty, that's a little bit of cred. This other guy who I'm working with is a director that went to fucking Sundance, so that's good. And that was my plan. I was like, hey, I just want to tell you about this thing. Almost immediately, he's like, I think we should wrap it up.
Oh, snap. Oh, snap.
Just as a human being, that's not...
Yikes.
And I don't know what he saw. I can't remember because I was nervous.
Was there like a 6-foot party sub? Maybe you wanted to go get some of that party sub?
I was eating a 6-foot party sub alone.
By yourself?
And didn't offer him any.
Oh.
But anyway, that whole fucking, you mentioned LA and networking and
sorry. Wow, it's the same in every city, but yeah, it's the social aspect is very difficult.
Yeah.
To all parts of life, not just show busy life, but dealing with people sometimes can be very, and the older I get, the more my neuroses seem to be.
That's good to hear because me too.
Oh wait, no, that's not good. If I'm like Wade, then
I'm a cool cat,
motherfucker.
You want to be like me?
I'm cool, motherfucker. Trust me.
Listen, I'm cool.
I'm fun to hang out with.
All right,
let's go to Del Taco.
You grew up? Did you say Madison?
I did. Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay. Were you raised religious at all?
Actually, sort of the opposite. I was sort of raised without anything. And then I kind of found out after the fact that my dad is particularly not religious. So that sort of explained why we didn't have anything. And then my parents divorced when I was like 7 or 8. And then my mom's new husband is from a Southern Catholic family.
Okay, yeah.
So religion kind of came later in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm familiar with Catholicism, but I don't practice it.
You didn't buy into it at that time?
Well, it was because I came to it in a strange way as a kid where, like, I didn't really participate. You know, I think I'd been to a couple weddings or anything, and I think my parents took me to a church at some point or another, but I didn't really have church as a thing in my life until I was like 8. And it was because this new guy was part of our life and it was important to their family. So I kind of had this take on it, like, why are we doing this new thing?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
your family, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like a bummer.
I just had a strange relationship with
it. Well, it allowed you to question it early, which most people don't get to experience.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, so I obviously have distance and sort of like feelings about it. But at the same time, I have friends now who do go to church and do have faith. And I kind of feel like I can be right about my thing and they can be right about their thing.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. Like, when I picture my grandma telling me, you know, like, sure, I believe my parents, whatever, but my grandma telling me, supporting this religion, it's like, okay, this is real.
Mm-hmm. For some people, it brings comfort and...
Well, what is your thing?
What do you mean, my faith?
Yeah, if you want to call it that, but I just mean...
What's my belief system? It's sort of bleak. I feel like my belief system is we're here. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if there's anything else.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
And I feel very much like, especially now having kids, I'm very much about trying to be as present as I possibly can, trying to take care of myself so I'm around as long as I can, but also like trying to make now count. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I said that exact same thing like a couple weeks ago. You probably heard the episode and you're just trying to get on my good side.
Well, I mean, if the listeners like it, maybe they'd like two of us saying it.
They don't like me at all. Half of them do.
Well, I'm sure they don't like it when you try and solicit sympathy like that. They don't care for that one. But
yeah.
No, it's fine if people don't like me. I'm just saying we have a very, there's the Wade audience and the Willie audience, and I don't think
that there is a stark line between the two.
They don't get along.
They can't, that's probably right.
You know, one thing I noticed, Willie does not say how much he hates himself. That's something maybe you could take from him a little bit.
No, yeah. I said other people hated me. I'm the best.
I see.
The reason I ask any of that is because I want to know if you believe in ghosts.
Supposedly, we have a ghost in our house. I have had weird things happen, but I think they are weird things of the world that, once explained, it's a vent or a I don't think there's ghosts.
Just, does your wife think there's ghosts? Or were you told when you moved in?
We were told when we looked at the house, we were told they have to do a disclosure. I think if someone passes away inside your house within, I don't know what the number is, I'm going to invent it right now, but I think it's like within like 18 months or a couple years or something.
Oh, okay. It's pretty short then.
Or it could be 3 years. I don't know what it is. I remember them saying, whatever the number was, it didn't freak me out. It's like, whoa, good thing we got. Yeah, good thing we looked here today, because next month you wouldn't have told us. Like, right, it seemed a substantial amount of time.
No,
the people who owned our house were an older couple. They raised their kids there and passed away in the house. Mm-hmm. So they have to disclose that. And so, I kind of think about that. Like, well, if I was a spirit and I lived in one place for the whole time with my family, there could be something there. But
what are the
residual echo energy?
All like, did I hear that? We have motion detector lights. Every once in a while, one of them goes off.
Yeah, but those things are finicky.
Yeah, they're also like
moth.
A
possum.
Exactly. That was what I was asking about.
Yeah.
All my brain would come up with was opossum, and I'm like, no, Chris. what's the common parlance for opossum? Yeah, possum.
I used to get so mad that there was possum and opossum. What? Okay, go on.
Well, no. Willie's on a soapbox. You go ahead. You let him have it, pal. You opossum people.
Shit. This is always the part where I run out of questions.
Yeah. Okay, what about superstitions? Do you have any superstitions?
I do, but it's all sort of like about like performance and things. Because like I come from theater and improv, and theater people in particular can be very superstitious. Have you heard anything about like the M word, the Shakespearean? I can say it here.
You mean Macbeth?
Yes, Macbeth. Yeah, I'm trying to respect it. Some people get very in the theater.
Yeah.
If you haven't ever heard this, you're not supposed to say the name of that play. It's supposed to be, if you're in a theater and you say
it, the cursed play,
they call it the cursed play. That is that. Yeah. And so the idea is somehow if you say the name of that in a theater, the only way to get rid of it is you have to go outside and spin around in a circle and spit. Like there's all these things.
Yeah.
So theater people are,
I didn't know there was a folklore about how to get it. Yeah.
I'm sure there's not really an undo, but somebody at some point was like, oh my God, Melissa can't stop saying Macbeth. We have to come up. I have an idea. It's probably like light as a feather, stiff as a board. It's just some sleepover invention somebody came up with.
What is that? Light as a feather? What is that?
That's a sleepover thing where you lie down and here, we'll do it with you right now. So we'll, Wade, you go ahead and lie down on the floor. We stay on either side of you and Willie and I hold each other's gaze for a long time. And then we say, light as a feather, stiff as a board, light as a feather, stiff as a board. And in theory, we're supposed to be able to like raise Wade up with our fingertips.
Oh, really?
It's like a sleepover thing.
Did you know about that?
Yeah.
Huh. I went to sleepovers. I know what you're thinking.
Prove it. Is Wade's next question, what is love? I hear of this love. What is it?
I'm not a robot. I'm just incapable of love in the organic way.
Or receiving it. Or generating a feeling that creates love in another.
Okay, it's something I should work on.
What about Bigfoot?
Oh, wouldn't that be great if there is a Bigfoot? I want any of these things to be. That's what I love about Dungeons and Dragons. It's just sort of like, guys, what's inside the chest?
Yeah.
Maybe it's jewels. Maybe it's a specter. Maybe it's not even a treasure chest. There's a thing in Dungeons and Dragons, I think it's called a lurker. It's a monster that has just developed treasure chest camouflage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you open it up and it's actually a giant mouth.
Oh, that's good to know.
That's a monster in D&D. That's good to know.
How do you can you dispel magic or something?
Like, no, it's a monster. I mean, it's
so it's not even magic.
It's, I'm sure, magic created, but yeah, but basically, but no, get your hands like out of the way, because you think you're about to reach inside and get jewels, and instead, sharp teeth.
It's like one of those fish that like bury themselves in the ground, and then other fish come up, and then they like jump out. Fish do that.
What?
Is that like a grouper?
Yeah, I don't know. Fish. Some fish does that.
Is this just something you're making up right now?
There's fish who do that. Am I crazy?
You mean the ones that like basically almost hibernate until water comes back?
No, they look... Fish. They're constantly using camouflage.
I know what a fish is.
They're always using camouflage. That's like their thing.
Lays flat and then tries to eat fish.
No, it doesn't lay flat. It like buries itself in the ground.
It kind of like shakes its body. Yeah, dust up. I feel like I've seen something like this. Okay,
Jesus. Get on board with my fish thing.
Well, this would be half like not hearing a part of it and then like trying to go like, no, I heard what you said.
What if it turns out that this is just 200 episodes of Willie gaslighting Wade? Oh, no, man. Nobody's ever heard of that.
Well, nothing's real,
in
actually.
A way, it is. It's him trying to convince me that all this stuff that doesn't exist exists.
What's the closest you've come of all the different things? What's the closest you've been like, eh, maybe?
My default answer to this is I now have a pitcher that filters fluoride. Because that's one of his things, like fluoride will calcify your pineal gland.
Okay, and then turn you into one of those, not reanimator, what's the one that after reanimator with the pineal gland?
Oh, yeah, with Jeffrey Combs. Called...
Oh, From Beyond.
From Beyond, dude. Yeah. Have you seen From Beyond?
No.
It's a great fucking movie.
It's a horror movie, though.
Horror
right?
movie. You don't watch horror movies?
Yeah, but...
I watch them, I just don't like them that much.
But they electrify your pineal gland and it makes you see into another dimension and there's these worms that come through. It's fucking great.
And then I won't get into it, it gets pretty gnarly, but it's good.
Fluoride, I think it's just a leftover thing from, I don't think it's a government being like, we need to brainwash our society. It's like, oh, they made a deal because fluoride comes from smokestacks.
Crest gel.
Crest. It comes in toothpaste.
Mm-hmm. It stops the cavity creeps from making holes in teeth.
Brushing your
teeth.
Well,
you're not allowed to say any of this. Okay, you've said it all before. That's the
rule. No, there is a rule.
The listeners are like, we've been down this road.
But you can't, listen, brushing your teeth with fluoride is okay, but ingesting it doesn't help your teeth.
Is someone actively ingesting fluoride?
Well, it's in the water.
It's allowed in the public water to help your teeth be better.
But nobody's like putting it in like Snapple or anything like that.
It's in all drinks because they use fluoridated water.
Because it's all in fluoridated water. Interesting. Have you done a study about what the long-term effects are?
Yeah, Willie. Have you done a study?
I know. I'm like, well, I have cavities and mm-hmm. I drink the shit out of even this beer that has fluoridated water. And I have fucking cavities.
So your complaint is that casual fluoride consumption is not keeping cavities out?
Sort of. My complaint is these companies are selling this toxic waste.
Fluoride.
And saying that it's when you ingest it, it actually helps your teeth.
But it doesn't actually do. But we don't know what it's doing.
If you brush your teeth with it, it does help your teeth. If you ingest it, it doesn't. Well, whatever. Yeah, that's the thing. Is that like there was some scam that happened? Whether it be a company trying to make money off the toxic waste instead of paying for the fees mm-hmm. to store it or whatever, or calcifying your pineal gland disconnects you from the universe.
Interesting. Are you in the pocket of big fluoride, Wade? Would you describe yourself as a big fluoride man?
Have you seen my place? Yeah. I mean, obviously.
There are a lot of what I would describe as like movie quality props of 6 foot long toothpaste tubes all over the place.
I'm the toothpaste man. I go to all the conventions.
The toothpaste man?
Yeah, they call me the toothpaste
man. He's advocating why you should use toothpaste.
Anything... Anything you can't do, toothpaste can. That's my slogan.
I like that you've kind of come up with like, oh boy, everybody's really coming down hard on the toothpaste. No, wait, nobody is saying don't. You're inventing a...
I gotta tell people that toothpaste is cool, man.
I think we all think it's cool.
Not kids.
That's true. For kids, there's like a non-minty, like for some reason, and my daughter is one of these kids who's sort of like, she tastes regular, sort of what I would describe as mint flavored toothpaste. And she goes, ugh, no. And I'm like, no, you have to, that you have to brush your teeth because your mouth otherwise smells like a hole. And she's like, oh no, I'm not need. So she uses like this kid strawberry one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure it has the quality of toothpaste and right. that she's brushing, but it does nothing in terms of
yeah.
cleanliness or what I would describe as a refreshing mint sensation.
Mint is like the reset of your breath.
Have you tried the strawberry toothpaste?
It's fine. It's what it is I'm sure it's just, you know, especially for kids, every flavor is way too strong. Everything is like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, so she, for whatever reason, she's decided, and I think it's another kid thing too, where it's just sort of like, if it's different, you can just say it's bad. Oh, no, I tried it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I had a weird toothpaste when I was a kid. I can't remember if I was even like particularly adverse to toothpaste, but it was like blue.
AIM?
No, it was like four kids. It was like kind of what you're describing, okay. I don't know what the flavor was because it was just weird.
It was sort of like, it was like Crest Gel or something like that, because they came up with a flavor and it's not minty. It is sort of this other.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's like bubble gum, but tweaked 20 degrees.
Yeah.
So yeah, the closest,
I've had that. Yeah.
The closest flavor is bubble gum, but it's not bubble gum.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
It's this other yeah. future. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. What is that? Listeners, Wade and Willie want your tweets. What is that flavor?
If you know what it is, hashtag tooth facts.
Ooh.
I guess.
And what was the one?
Do you think tooth facts is a popular
tooth
hashtag?
Facts? I don't know how connected that how is to what we're talking
about. Tooth sleuth.
Tooth. Oh.
Tooth sleuth. Thank you.
Tooth sleuth.
This is why we have writer's rooms and not just singular writers.
I like this. And what was the one? There was one. It wasn't rainbow, but it was like white and blue and green. Straight. It was like aqua fresh or something like that. It had
that
like,
sounds right.
Yeah. I feel like there was.
But you said AIM, and AIM did that too.
AIM, I think, was
AIM
all,
was just white and red, I thought.
That could be. I don't remember. But yeah, there were.
And I remember
there,
it was like cinnamon, because I was not into the cinnamon toothpaste.
Oh, I use cinnamon floss now. I really like it.
Wow, I want cinnamon toothpaste now. I've been using mint for...
There's Reach makes a cinnamon floss, and it's actually multiple strands banded together, so it's a little bit thicker, and
it's
I find
like that, yeah.
It doesn't break as easy.
It doesn't break as easy. It has never broken on me, and it kind of gets all the gunk out better. It's called for like sensitive teeth.
Do they call that the thread, or is that different than the thread?
I think it might be called thread. I just look for the one that like it's the only one that ever has red stuff written, because everything else it's the only one that's not mint.
Do you believe in time travel?
Oh God!
Right, that should have been what we opened with.
I wish to God there was time travel. I hope that someday.
You think it's possible? That's the thing. Like, not that it could. It doesn't even have to be that it's happened. Do you think it's possible?
I want to believe. I mean, because of it, because it's a technology based thing. I guess I want to believe it's possible, but at the same time, like. Medicine and science things are all sort of technology based, and we haven't really figured out like the one screen that's the real time super X-ray machine. Like we still haven't quite got that down for the body. I would like things like that though. But don't you want to travel in time?
Would you?
That's irresponsible.
Wait, why?
Well, so that's my question. If there were time travel, would you want there to be time travel? Because don't you think like your enemies would foil you when you were a baby?
What enemies are we discussing here?
Come and strangle you as a baby?
What?
Wait a minute.
What if you were the
all
next
your enemies.
Hitler?
And, you know.
And then your enemies were coming to kill you your whole life.
Is that what the point of this whole podcast is, finding the next Hitler? Huh.
No.
Huh.
No.
Huh.
That's not it.
Oh, all right.
Just keep answering the
you
questions.
You like how I just shook my head instead of said anything? I'm like, oh, yeah, I got talked to.
Is this whole podcast like a Voight-Kampf
test? Keep answering the questions, and at the end, we'll tell you if you're Hitler. I mean, on where the scale you are.
I feel like I want there to be time travel, but again, wouldn't we have seen even if it was just sort of like, hey guys, remember that story we all heard about that weird silver doorway that appeared at the White House, you know, that day that Lincoln was shot? Like, wouldn't there be one story one time about a very clear...
But here's my thing to your in response to you is that the person that has that one story, nobody believes. So it's lost in some weird YouTube video of like, I saw this thing and nobody believes me.
Could it have been
and
put away?
So like that exists also, but like nobody's seen it. Because nobody's going to see time travel. They're going to try to hide it from you. You're going to hide it from yourself. You could be watching your life again. Like, I can live forever. So I'm going to rewatch myself live my life until I get to this age.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever.
No, that's all that's true. Yeah. And then you have to, especially if there's computers, I feel like once you start applying computers and like a Groundhog Day effect to time travel, where it's like, okay, well, now that we know time travel is real, I'm going to run a computer simulation to give me the best possible life.
Computers and time travel are the weirdest things to me because it's like, well, you know, sure, I'm conscious, I'm thinking, I'm not a computer. And then what if a computer visited a computer via time travel? What the fuck?
Although, hang on.
Wait, what?
Time travel could be fine because aren't you just recreating a new sort of like...
A new timeline?
Yeah, or a new dimension. So if you go back and make your life better, no one's the wiser because they're all the same, right? Like, that doesn't affect you at all. Because you're here. Yeah. We're here now. Our timeline can't change. And, right? Or am I overthinking it?
Well, the thing is...
Well, by doing things differently, you're creating an alternate... I mean, you're not aware
but
of the
I
fact...
But if I went back and killed baby you... You would still exist.
Why is that always your example? Why is it always killing me? I'll run with it because I want to be yes, Andy. But I'm just saying, it's making me upset. So, okay, you go back in time and kill me.
I kill you. I find you in Madison.
That's why you... Oh. I was way too... It'd be funny
if there was a time traveler podcast.
I wait until you're seven.
And the whole point of the show was to find out where you were. When they went back.
Every episode ends with, well, we're locking this in the time box because once we exterminate you, this interview will never have happened. Yeah. But we need
to. If the podcast doesn't exist if we did a good job.
I'm going to wait until your parents get divorced. My condolences.
Thank you.
You'll be very upset.
Right.
You'll go to this church. You don't know anyone. And I'll just like kill you there.
In front of everybody?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if that's really your best plan.
There's got to be a time when you're alone that I can really get you.
Wait, this just sounds creepier and creepier.
So I'm on board. Now I'm back on board with time travel.
What kind of adults
cool.
did you trust when you were young? That's the next question.
I guess, yeah. Hey, what thing, let's say you're 7 years old, specifically on May the 7th, 1970. Like, Star Wars hadn't come out yet. What else did you really like? Like, what if a man started telling you about Star Wars? Do you think you'd hang out with him for a minute? You know what?
That'd be funny if there was a time travel movie where somebody went back in time to tell people about Star Wars before it came out. Mm-hmm. No, you're going to love it. You have to go to it. Like, trying to convince someone to go to Star Wars who didn't go the first pass.
Oh, I like that. Is that sort of a reverse caper? I like that.
You know what? I should have done this for What's Eating Willie's Great. But this new movie about the everyone forgets the Beatles songs, and this guy
gets a weird one, right?
Famous singing the Beatles songs. I'm like, oh, you have a movie that has Beatles songs in it. That's it. That your gimmick is like stressing me out because
what is that movie? That's what he does. He goes back in time and he does.
No, there's no time travel.
It's like a fantasy. It's the same guy.
Oh, they didn't.
It's Richard Curtis. It's the same guy who did Love Actually. So it's a sort of like it's almost like a modern fairy tale.
I didn't see Love Actually, but he also did Slumdog Millionaire. And to me, I don't mean to. You know what I mean? My mistake is that I talk shit on things, and that movie always upset me. Though it was good, it was a fabulous movie. It upset me that they use something popular like. What was the game show?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Biggest game show of the time, and then like that's in the movie, and so it bothered me so much because it's like
it was a pop culture reference as opposed to something.
It's like, whatever.
That's a valid complaint. I mean, I think you always want
the movie was great.
Whatever.
I was mad about
who fucking cares if you think.
Oh, wow. Controversy.
No, it just seems like you're apologizing for talking shit about it. Who cares if you like Slumdog Millionaire?
My apologizing
fucking
comes,
won the Oscar. It doesn't matter if you like it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. My apologizing comes because I'm like, well, I hate the gimmicky part of it.
No,
but the
I was
rest
about
of
to explain to you why that's a good. That's good because you want. As a creator, you want everything to be evergreen. You want people to be able to watch it.
Well, it grounds it in the real world.
Yeah. No. Because not if you're 10 right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. When it came out. Yeah, it's not evergreen. You're right.
I just think it would throw you. You'd be like, what the fuck is this? Or maybe you wouldn't because you understand the concept of game shows, and then later you would find out it's real. I don't know. I think it dates it in a bad way.
Maybe what we should do is, how about a different podcast? We bring, my daughters are 7 and 9 each week. You guys show them a different movie they haven't seen, and then right afterward, Wade goes like, did you fucking get that? Does that make sense? If they don't get it, he's like, see?
That is the way I talk to
that
children.
Also, that is an amazing show also. I was talking today, I need to rewatch everything I've ever watched before high school because I didn't get it.
No, yeah, you come back to things, you revisit things. When we saw Slumdog Millionaire, it was right after we had our... We had a baby, and a friend of ours who had just seen it, who also had just had a kid, said, hey, go ahead and see it. By the way, just so you know, nothing bad there with kids. So now that you've had a baby, you're going to see movies differently. It'll be fine. We're like, oh, that was nice of her to tell us that. And then we saw it in the movie. Spoiler, they burn out kids' eyes with acid. And so my wife and I screamed going, this is not at all what she said it was. Yeah. It is distinctly like cruel to children. And then we were both like, why did she tell us that? Because it wasn't like we said, hey, we're about to go see Slumdog Millionaire. Any cruelty towards children in there? It was an unsolicited lie.
To use a parlance of that time, she punked you.
The weird thing is that specifically it's when you get advice from people, it specifically relates to them. It's like, oh, there was no sex. There's violence. Violence is okay for kids. There's no sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is to them, maybe that is specific.
Yeah. But I just remember specifically being like, when that scene happened, I remember like jumping off the couch and going, whoa, I am not ready for this.
Yeah. Because it's something, it's a concept that you have to explain to some to a learning brain that like they.
Well, he's not even talking about showing it to his children. He's saying
we had just had our baby.
You get more empathetic about children's eyes getting burned out when you have a child.
Although Wade, you in theory, Wade, as a human being, you should be empathetic about that.
I said
all.
More empathetic.
Okay,
I didn't say more. That's you true. Get one level of empathy.
I understand. That's what I'm led to believe. I don't know that that's the case.
Burn all their eyes out. I don't care.
Why?
They're all gonna die in the great.
Robot purge?
Dust apocalypse of fucking 2035, right? We're fucked. Global warming, all that shit.
Yeah. That's why I feel like stuff like this, like are the robots going to take over and kill us?
Oh, let's wrap up.
Oh, sorry.
But you're right.
You have
get
a structure
into it.
To this.
And I already know the answer, but I want to come back to it. John Edwards... You sort of believed in a little bit. Right now, do you believe in any kind of like psychic stuff? Like, not at all.
I want to. I just don't think that. I mean, I think it'd be more. Again, I had an experience. I used to live in New York, and probably 4 or 5 doors down from where I lived, there was like a fortune teller. And one night I was on a date. And like, what else are you going to do when you like, you're walking back to your apartment? And you're like, hey, let's stop and get our fortunes told. And maybe it'll like be
was
a
it
fun
a
little
first date.
Early on date. Yeah. It could have been
pretty
a first
risky,
date.
Kind of a risky.
but I was just kind of like, it'll be no matter what, it'll be fun. Yeah.
We can goof on it.
Yeah. Because it'll be like, I don't take this. It was also a little barometer check of like, she didn't get very serious going like, this is, you know, I really believe in the tarot. I was like, oh, okay. We're both on the same page. We're just kind of enjoying it. And I was like, and if something, she says something of, like I said before about like religion, I was like, if this person says something that really resonates with me, then okay, I'll acknowledge that. Like,
right.
Things resonate with you or they don't.
Mm.
And it just was very clearly just sort of like, she sort of, before we start, she said, well, for $5, I'll do this kind of fortune. Now, if you do the $20 version, I was like, no, we're just kind of, we're just going to sort of get our toes wet and see how it goes. And so the $5 version was this, like she took my hand and kind of looked at it and she said, you have many things coming in the future.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of stuff happening, but I'm not real clear. Like, it was just the most unenthusiastic, why aren't you giving me $20?
Right, you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah, wow. And exactly. And again, like sort of like my experience at that church, I was just like, oh, this is just about handing you cash.
Right.
This is, and so even if she was gifted or something like that, it made me go like, we got to go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a funny thing, too, when you consider the possibility that, like, what if she was real? But you just had to pay too much.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if you're real and I have to pay too much, I don't fucking care anyways.
Also, she would be an evil person.
Yeah.
Because she would know exactly what happens to you. And she's like, this guy owes me $15 if he wants to know how he dies.
I'm like, I know that he's not going to be happy with the outcome. Yeah.
I mean, he might stop the robot war, but I'm not going to tell him unless he gives me another. I mean, I'm going to be able to get at least another.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to segue.
No.
But I want to go back because we never asked what is going on in your house. Is there any more?
I'm making it sound as though there's like unexplained phenomena, but there really aren't. It's just things like, and again, we've only lived in this house for a year, so it's things like the house settles.
Yeah.
Sometimes I hear in the middle of the night like a noise, and I'll get up, and one of the cupboards in the kitchen has sort of popped open. But it's because
they're old cupboards. Too.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's things, and it doesn't happen all the time.
Little weird springs that like are 30 years old with paint on them.
Well, mine were built in like the 20s or whatever, and they built them in a way where like if you push them hard, they stick, but they only stick because of the pressure they created.
Right.
And so by its very nature, they'll pop open because of that pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And like we put a dishwasher in and just the physical pressure of that, like we sort of put it into an existing old cupboard from the 50s. So we do every once in a while, like the dishwasher will change cycles and all of a sudden you can hear it go goong and all of a sudden pop, one of the doors will pop open because there is some heat, humidity thing going on.
Well, here's something you might not know.
Uh-oh, water ghost.
The woman who lived in that house worked for 40 years in a restaurant as a dishwasher.
With her hands? With her hands?
She hates the mechanism that took her job.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're a zero on the scale. You don't believe in anything.
We forgot one thing. But I want to.
I think that's the thing. The whole JFK thing. Do you think the government was involved in a cover-up, no matter what happened? No matter what happened, whether...
Ooh. Hmm. I don't know enough about it to speak authoritatively. You do?
Well, the the whole, no.
We're kind of closer on this.
This is why it's sort of a pointless question. It's more just for the audience to see like how much you sort of trust the government. I mean, like, you know, how much are they lying to us?
I don't know how organized these people are. I feel like, especially
in this story. Go on.
Just to answer your question, like, just based off of everything, taking red state, blue state sort of political agenda out of it, just sort of seeing what's going on with the government right now, it is clearly a barely functioning super system. You know what I mean? And so, to believe that somewhere within the barely functioning, you know, could there be someone lying with a secret department? Yeah, there could be. It doesn't seem like anybody's really functioning at that high of
a
level.
They're not apt.
Well,
they can't.
The secrets that they keep are the ones that are like life and death, you know, in terms of like, we have to keep track of where this person is because lives hang in the balance, as opposed to, we have a secret base. And there's this bowl of slime. And when you think a happy thought, it turns red. You know what I mean? Like, there's I just think, like, we want those things to exist. I want there to be a secret base where they have a space engine.
Sure. See, you're even more of a zero now because I'm totally on board with everything that you said. Because I want to believe all this shit, too. I think it's fun to think about.
I don't think you do.
No, I do. Willie, tell him. We've done almost 200 episodes of this. How open-minded am I with this stuff?
Well, hold on. Two different questions.
Well, first of all, tell him.
Wayne will not be... Oh, you answer my question, sir.
I mean, I think that you're open-minded to this. I think you're open-minded to this, but you would never believe anybody if they had a story.
If I believed any of it, my job is done here. There's no reason for me to be on this podcast.
But...
That's the whole point of me, is to say, like, oh, well, that could be a ghost, or it could be a
fucking
raccoon.
Have you had people on who are, like, have had, like, close encounter experiences or, like, ghost experiences or anything?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hardcore ones?
Well, we had a UFO summoner who could, like, summon UFOs, and we had her summon one.
And how'd it go?
It's like just a light that goes across the sky.
It was a weird thing because there was a weird anomaly that showed
there was?
Yeah.
Yeah, but to me, it always just looks like a plane or whatever. And then Willie has a million reasons why it's not a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
But in my mind, I'm like, if it's just right there, how can that be?
What about ghosts or that kind of a chilling shade?
Well, you know the Rob Schraub story.
No.
You don't?
I don't know.
You know the place he's lived in forever?
Yes.
So it was like haunted, and then Jeff Davis like exorcised it.
But it was Jeff Davis's place before, and he's got a ghost story.
I knew, when I first visited here, Jeff lived there with an Irish guy, and we would hang out there. And then when he moved out, Schraub moved in, and Schraub has lived there. That might be the longest anyone's lived in an apartment in Los Angeles.
I bet his rent is so cheap.
I know.
I hope so.
I know.
Oh, it is. It's got to be.
Look at the contempt in your eyes. Oh,
I want that place.
I want this place. Paying better rent than I am.
Directing major motion pictures and hoarding all of his cheap rent.
Well, you know, why don't you live in the same place for 20 years and then we'll see.
I'm planning on it.
Yeah.
It's got to be at least 20 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know because he was there before I moved out here or before I met him, and that was 2005.
Well, I moved here in 99. Oh, wow. So that means I've now had a 20-year... This is my 20-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And he lived there. So, yeah. So he's lived there longer than 20 years. That's crazy. That's a long time.
We moved out here 2 years after you.
So, okay. So you're basically the same. It is. When you get to, like, 20 years, it's just sort of like, what are we keeping track of?
I know. Well, it's just funny to me. I say it like that because I'm reminiscing on, like... Fucking, Thomas Guide and taxi cabs and shit that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you told the listeners that you've got two side by side televisions? Have you talked to
them? They don't need to know that.
All right.
They do. You're a zero. We agree on everything. I don't care if you don't. I don't care if you don't like me. We agree. You're just like me. You're just like me.
You are answering so many questions right now that have not been asked. All right. Okay. I wouldn't say we're the same, but all right.
I think we are.
Okay.
Willie, you never answered my question.
Which one?
About how on board I am with all this stuff.
Oh. Well, it's weird because...
What are you pausing for? I'm on board.
But I feel a pressure.
All right. Don't answer.
Why are you pressuring him?
Well, no, because I'm like, I feel like you are open-minded, and I feel like you think you're open-minded, which is like two of the same things.
Those are two very different sentences, and you said them both.
It's both for most things because a critical mind.
You have to be open.
I'm a critical mind too. I think I see the possibility of more possibilities. But that doesn't mean that I'm more open-minded.
I see possibilities that are just different than yours.
Yeah, and I don't think that I'm a step above because I actually do believe that these things could happen. I'm like, no, I'm just like playing with the idea of like if most of these things were real, it would be the same situation. So it comes down to a belief.
That's interesting.
A faith.
To me.
It comes more to a faith.
That because you were asking before, like, do I have like a credo or something? I would say one thing that is that does affect our lives is what you're talking about in terms of a faith, not so much for me as a faith in a higher power, but I do feel like every day when we wake up, we do have a choice. Like, you don't control the things that happen in the day-to-day world, but you do get to decide about the energy that you have inside of you that you put out into the world. Yeah. So I do feel like if you wake up every day and kind of actively choose, today's going to be good. Today I'm going to try hard, and today I'm going, well, you know, whatever, whether it's different for every person, but I feel like if you do that, I feel like it does actually have an effect. Yeah. It might be more long term, and it might be more just about your own take on things as opposed to actually changing things.
It's weird because even you saying that makes me go, well, whether you're right or you're wrong, you can end up believing yourself so much so that, like, let's say that you've taken a few negative things in, right? Like, sure. Man, fucking...
You know, are we talking about, like, bad things that happen to you in life?
So, well, a little bit of that, but also like a little rape. Bit of... Like, for example...
Huh. It's weird they would run immediately to that. I mean, there's so many different forms of trauma.
I mean, my...
Huh. Are there?
My...
What?
Listen, you're right. You're 100% right. The power of positive thinking, it's a thing, and it's a constant theme on this show. It's like... Totally true. The world gives back to you what you give to it. And if negativity, it's coming back at you with
but
that shit.
A lot of people don't know that they're choosing negativity because it's more of a byproduct of reacting.
I think people are boring and they like to complain, and that makes their life worse. I think once you realize that being a complainer is not a personality trait, once you like grow past that angsty sort of teen early 20s thing,
but
you get better.
But a lot of people don't grow past that because there's nothing telling them that it's...
Well, I'm telling them right now.
Kids, yeah. Listen up. Uncle Wade's here with the hard truth. You know, the
Stop
baby
complaining.
Murderer.
Stop complaining. Your life will be better. Stop.
It's true.
No one's interested in your fucking complaints. It's boring. You're boring everybody.
I think it's funny.
Unless you're talking shit about a mutual friend that you both hate.
Yeah. When somebody complains about something and it's like, and like you get nothing from it and you can't add anything to it. And then it's like, then it's just over. You know,
it's funny how I just said that and our entire bonus episode is us complaining about shit.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it funny though?
I
hope everybody who listened to that bonus episode is
really cackling.
We don't
make any money on
this,
so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You guys have Patreon?
No, man.
No.
We gotta
Once we start making money and somebody tells us to stop doing something, we'll stop doing the something.
Wait, what?
If we ever make money.
Oh, I see.
And then we get feedback. We'll listen to the feedback.
You're not getting any feedback?
No, I don't know.
We have some fans telling us that that it doesn't matter what we talk about. We have good chemistry.
I would agree with that. I feel like you're brought into a thing because of the hook, but you stay with the thing because of the personalities involved and the people. And if somehow, I mean, there must be a God. If someone likes Wade and his crazy cantankerisms.
I am beloved.
Hmm?
I am beloved.
You are beloved?
People beloved me. All right, why don't we take a quick break? We're going to come back. We're talking to our guest, who is a zero. He's a Wade, Chris Tallman, about AI and how it always talks about murdering humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys. This year, in September 27th and 28th, we're going to be live in Menomonee, Wisconsin.
We're going to be at Paranomicon, much to the disdain of me. we don't know which day it's going to be, but get your tickets. They're on sale now. If you go to... Oh, my God.
Well, the theater is the Mabel Tainter. So, mabeltainter.org. This place is a haunted theater. And there's very limited seats. And during the show, the keynote speaker is Grant Wilson from... he's one of the first ghost shows, Ghost Hunters. And he's going to do an investigation on Saturday of the haunted theater.
So that's pretty cool.
But fuck that. I mean, show up for us. You don't have to watch the other shows. Show up for us. We're going to be there. Paranomicon, September 27th, 28th. Menominee, Wisconsin.
Travis Walton's going to be there. We're going to have a merch booth. I don't know what we'll come up with something, but we will
have
a little booth.
I don't want to be there. So please come support me. I would love it if there was a friendly audience because I don't know what I'm doing. Tickets on sale. Go to the Mabel Tainter Theaters. It's Mabel Tainter.org, and you can find the link to tickets there.
Paranormicon. I don't know how to, I might be saying it wrong, but it is, you know, they've got a cryptozoologist, they've got ghost hunters, they've got UFO people, they've got us.
We're gonna
have a guest, one of those guests on our live show. Hopefully,
probably gonna be a fucking drip. I wish we could take a comedian out there. If you're a comedian in Wisconsin,
start lobbying to us. Hit us up because
we'll get you.
We may need to get you up there.
All right.
But bye. Come see us in Wisconsin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. We're talking to our good friend Chris Tallman about robots and AI. Starting now. We haven't been.
Well, I want to start by asking you both if you could give like a little summary of your relationship with robots, AI. Do you think it's going to work out? Do you have do you have fears about that? You got Terminator. You got, you know, whatever. A future that is fully supported by robotics and AI. Like, what, Chris? Start with you. What's your relationship with AI and robots?
Again, because as like a nerd kid, love robots, want them to be cool. It's one of my first memories of Doctor Who, which was a show that was sort of like
Master.
Yeah, exactly. K-9. Yeah, you remember. I discovered Doctor Who around the same time I discovered Monty Python. So I'm like age like 8 or 9. So they're sort of like deeply fundamental pieces of sci-fi that I discovered on PBS in Wisconsin. So I kind of felt like, oh my God, it's this thing nobody else has ever seen before. And the first Tom Baker episode, which is he's the Doctor Who with the long scarf.
Yeah.
His first one is called Robot. His first series of episodes. And it's a guy in a giant, horrible, clunky suit. But it's all about a robot that at first is sort of nice. And they kind of realize, oh, it's actually alive. And then when it gets angry, it grows and it kills people. So it's like this, a very Frankenstein tragic monster story of robots. So in my head, that and C-3PO have always been my vision of like, oh, they're these misunderstood things. And if you were only nice to robots, they'd be your pal. But now, up until like this year, I kind of thought like, oh, that's how we're going to die. We're all going to die because eventually robots are going to, as has been played out in so much different sci-fi literature and movies and stuff, that, oh, eventually they're just going to realize that humans are the problem. But now that the world is cooking, I think the world's going to be done with us way before the robots take over.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we're building robots, but we're heating up.
Well, what if the world wasn't going to end? Do you think, like, how far can you trust robots?
I think robots would probably take over in like 200 years. I just don't know if we're going to make it 200 years.
Right.
I feel like that will be the fun thing, is that we'll get burned out at like 150 years and some other thing will take over. And then 1,000 years from now, whatever the new form of super life, like plant people or whatever, will be like, hey, what's this button? It says robots. And they'll turn that on. And then all of a sudden they're like, Jesus Christ.
What were these guys thinking?
And then we win because we created that.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
You can never defeat us.
What's your perspective, Wade? In a quick summary in the same vein?
I feel like a lot of the AI that we're seeing right now, like chatbots and stuff like that, are learning from what people type into it. And so a lot of it is misleading. They always end up like using racial slurs and stuff like that because you've got 13-year-olds like talking to them. And then that goes into this algorithm I want to be positive about it. I want to be like, oh, this is great. Like they can, what I would love is like they take over all labor and stuff like that.
You love that.
Yeah. And then we would get like a universal basic income and we wouldn't have to work anymore. And then we could go back to like teaching art and music and stuff like that. Poetic for you?
No, it's just your vision is finally, as was intended, the robots take over and we all become poets.
No, they
right?
are.
That's what we're all headed.
No, there are slaves, for lack of
they
a better
do all
term.
The physical.
But they don't. Can't you just limit AI by programming it to not like teach itself? Couldn't you just keep that to like one computer that's off network and. AI through that and then just have drones delivering packages.
Why do they need to keep making AI that is learning and self-sufficient? It's like, no, just stick to the program. I get that.
Well, we're making ourselves obsolete, which I think is
I think that's
the
great.
Problem.
No, I
Why
think it's
is
great.
That great?
Because there's, well, I don't, I'm not smart enough to know how it would work, but I think there's a way that we can
I'm also
all...
not smart enough, so I understand. What
yeah.
You're
so I'm self-conscious talking about it. But I think there is a way to do a basic income that everybody gets. There are countries trying it.
Like a universal. So everybody, because as a citizen, everybody gets
You get like 20 grand or whatever, right?
Okay.
Maybe not even enough to live off of.
An existence fee.
Yeah. And then it's your choice if you want to work and earn more on top of that. And do stuff, like do creative stuff, or I don't know, what do people do that aren't creative? Sell, they could sell. People can sell.
Build, they work. I mean, there's all kinds of like construction.
Fuck all the building shit. I want robots to do that shit.
But what about like farming? You want robots to do all the farming?
Sure. I mean, don't we basically pay farmers not to farm at this point?
Yeah.
So, paying them not to farm?
No, there's all these corn subsidies.
We have
and
such
stuff
a
like
surplus
that.
Of farming that for years, for decades already, we'll pay farmers not to make stuff because we're just going to throw shit away.
No, but you're right. We will need farmers because they have to look after like cattle and stuff like that. And I feel like that takes a human touch.
And
like
tomatoes?
I feel like robots could do that. But I think if we're going to keep eating cows. They're not going to respond well to a robot going like...
What about like... I guess this is a very specific example, but I think of like... Because my wife is a gardener. And
okay.
She spends a lot of time doing that. I think about like... And because I used to work at Disneyland, I think one of the coolest jobs in the world is gardener at some place like that because they're people who love plants.
Oh, doing all the flower arrangements?
Yeah, and so they
and
do
stuff?
All the flower stuff. But because Disneyland, obviously, it's sort of like this fantasy magical place, you can't really see people doing the gardening. So the gardeners at a place like Disneyland are sort of like the elves that make the shoes at night.
Yeah.
Like the park closes, and that's when all those people get to come in and do all their craftsmanship. And some of it's carpentry, and some of it's plumbing and painting, but some of it's you know, more visual.
Right.
And I think like that's a human touch. It could be done by machines, but don't we like...
Yes. No, that's what I'm saying. Like I think like if you want to do that, do it. Like, definitely a human's going to be better at that than a robot, right?
Well, it's funny.
Can a robot paint the Mona Lisa, man?
The answer is yes.
No.
Wow, that was quick. That was great.
No, it can make a copy of it, but it couldn't create it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so there's art and stuff like that that could never be replaced. And in terms of, like, are they going to kill us all? I don't know.
I think so.
I really don't know.
Well,
I want to say no, but then you see the MIT kids like kicking that thing and then it like corrects itself and then it runs like upstairs and stuff and you're like,
Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why are you making that thing?
Yeah, like, you're being mean to the robot you made.
Mm-hmm. In 3 months, it's going to eat you.
You're creating a machine that you can't kick over. Isn't that our one defense against a malfunctioning machine? Yeah. Is you can kick it over?
It's like, that's why I can't get into zombie movies, because all you have to do is kind of close the door.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
You got to watch out for that horde.
Yeah, yeah. But there's so many different versions of zombies that I'm like, I'll just put wood over the door then also.
You're going to have to go get food at some point.
I'm like, I've never been afraid of zombies. You know what I might do? Walk a little bit faster.
Yeah, but then you get those 28 days later. Like, that's what I remember about that movie is, oh, shit, fast zombies. That changes the game.
Yeah.
But screaming, angry, running zombies? No.
I can't break my mental barrier of muscles don't work when they're rotting. So I can't watch. That makes no sense to
me. Yeah, they took a little fantasy turn when they did that.
I'm like...
But 28 days later, I think the point wasn't they were undead. The point was they were... like insane.
Oh, I didn't see it.
So that was like,
oh, you got to see it. Oh, it's great.
28 Days Later is really good. I'm not even into zombie stuff. That was more of like an infection, right? And
yeah,
it would sort of just go mad.
It plays as a zombie movie because all the people kind of move in sort of this pack horde mentality.
Okay.
But yeah, but the difference is they are ravaged with a, you never even really know what the toxin is. They call it rage. But imagine a bunch of zombies, but instead of shambling, they're all at full energy, furious.
And not rotting.
Yeah, and if they see you, they all come tearing ass after you. Then, and so that's what's great about that movie. You're like, oh, shit, you got to run.
Like, that's didn't they do that in one of the reboots of Night of the Living Dead? Like, they made the zombies fast?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I think in like the Zack Snyder reboot, I think they were a little more like savage.
Right. Yeah. Let's get rid of zombies. I'm going to retire zombies on the next bonus episode.
Oh, just as a concept, no more zombies?
Yeah. I started a new segment where I get to retire things.
I feel like AMC would have some issues with
AMC. You're going to have to buy some new programming.
Sorry, you have to talk to one of the writers of Rick and Morty and come up with a great new idea for your network. Huh?
Yeah, that's a long con.
Why is that a con? Willie, what about you? Are you a hardcore robot man?
My thing is that, like, and I don't want to, like, jump. Well, whatever. Whatever. I've already thought too much without saying anything.
Put down that knife.
Yeah.
You're going insane.
The idea of robotics and programming, yes, it will always help and assist humanity. And I feel sad that most of the technology in that realm is being used for like lazy technology. Like, oh, my... You know, like toilet seat heats up before it wipes my ass, as opposed to, you know,
not having to poop anymore.
Well, that and like, well,
those are kind of extreme examples.
Yeah,
well, I feel like there's a middle ground. He brought up the toilet thing. That seems like a great idea. Heated toilet seat.
Yeah, you've got the bidet in there.
I got the bidet. Yeah, it's great.
Was that hard to install?
No, it's so easy, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do you get it? Just like at
just Amazon or whatever.
Oh, all right. You run a water line?
What?
You have to run a water line or anything?
No, you use the water that's going into the bottom of the tank.
Uh-huh.
You reroute it
uh-huh.
with like a splitter.
Ooh.
And then just like re-put it in.
You guys thought the robots were going to kill us. Sounds like Wade the robot is going to teach us how to clean our bums a little bit more efficiently.
Yeah, clean your bums.
And how long have you had that thing?
I don't know. A couple years?
And you swear by it?
Sure.
Well, no, I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I'm just saying you like it.
I like it, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, you know, you save toilet paper.
You don't use toilet paper?
You do, but you don't. It's mostly for drying.
Interesting. All right.
And, you know, there's
so it's
like
an air, it's like a pressure hose. You're just like blasting your bump.
Kind of.
Wow.
There are fanatics who are like, if you spilled ketchup, you wouldn't just wipe it up. You would like spray stuff and... You know, there are people who are so pro bidet that I don't want to like lump myself in
a bunch of Ryan Ridleys, right? That's what we'll call them.
Okay, sure.
He's not here to defend himself, so you might as well take him out of the knees. I mean,
he lives right there.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know.
But I would say yes, it's great. When I visit home and they don't have them, when I go back to Colorado, it's like, this sucks. I hate this now. My butt gets all irritated.
Really?
Yeah.
So you kind of need one now.
Sort of. I handicapped myself.
It's like being a chapstick user. If you always put stuff on your lips, all of a sudden you run out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
So ultimately, though, like, I feel like the issue with AI and robots will always be programming. Because we're programming them. I understand that current AI has the capabilities probably of programming themselves, but it's like,
and to exceed our mistakes.
Yeah, it's hard to that's where I get lost in the realm of like, well, once they realize that we're actually their biggest problem, and that's what good sci-fi does, is like reiterate that point where it's like, listen, we're not assholes, but you guys aren't good for us.
Right. You're saying this is the robot.
Yeah, this is the robot point of view.
I think that's true. Yeah, to me, it's sort of like, yeah, if the robots were there to program themselves, it might be okay. But I feel like as soon as you introduce us humans into the equation, things get a little selfish, murderous.
And it's like, you know, one bad apple ruins the whole bunch. And a robot's not going to be like, everyone's an individual. It's like, mm-hmm. No, whatever this is,
yeah,
it all needs to go. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that could be programmed too. And it's, well, okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to go through some specific stories. We can do them case by case or whatever, but there are weird specific stories of robots and AI behaving badly.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds like a good Ray Romano sitcom.
Robot.
Ah. Oh, my robot's behaving so badly.
Should I plug it in?
Oh, why?
Robot, why are you killing me?
It said duty. The robot said duty.
You're so much better at it. I wish I could do a good Ray Romano.
That everybody's
mine goes straight to Kermit, so I don't actually do it.
Ooh, Kermit, man.
Geez, Mom. It's me, Kermit.
Mom, why you... Now I've totally lost it. Mom, why you gotta live next door? Does that sound anything like Ray Romano?
No, nor Kermit.
Oh, was I trying to do Kermit?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure
Kermit
out who that was.
Frog here. Oh, Miss Piggy. I don't know. How's that sound? Does that sound good?
That's good.
Romano the Ray here.
That was bad. Whatever.
Ray Romano with a Muppet News Flash. Why do you keep coming over here, Mommy?
Mommy, leave me alone. I want to have sex with Miss Piggy.
You don't get a lot of dates, huh, Wade?
They're all too fat and old.
Oh, no, Wade! No!
Can I clarify that?
Why would you? You want to go, you're going to double down on that? I think you should apologize.
I have nothing.
Move forward. Oh, Wade.
I have nothing. I have no problem.
Uh-oh.
The problem is, here's the only way to date these days, right? Especially in LA. You got to go on the fucking apps, right?
Okay.
Their pictures are always from 10 years ago. And that's all that says to me is like, you don't have any self-esteem. I'm not going to date you. You should have used your real pictures. We still probably would have matched. We would still have like a fine conversation and maybe it would go further. But the second that you start with the short con of like, I'm deceiving you immediately to get a date?
To get a face-to-face?
Yeah.
The match is more important than the date. The match is more important than the date.
So I don't understand why they do that. It just seems to me like the dumbest move you can make. So that's...
How recent is your picture?
We can pull it up. It's from...
I'm not trapping you. I'm genuinely asking.
Look at it.
Okay, I'll look. Wow, Willie is very adamant. No, you look at it. They're all the truth.
They're all very recent. I'm wearing a hat in only one of like the six because there's a thing called hat fishing that the girls.
Oh, okay, I get that.
Bald sure. guys will like wear sure. a hat in all their pictures. I think that's the funniest term.
Especially, I've never heard that before. Especially if they're like unique hats. Whoa, this guy's eccentric. Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, is this guy like a court jester or just some kind of real... Oh, no.
No, he's just bald.
No, it's this way.
So, yeah, no, I'm very upfront. I'm very grumpy on my profile. I put out the worst version of myself because then if that matches, they're going to be like very pleasantly surprised when
But don't you want someone to pick you?
I get picked.
Oh, all right.
They're all just fat and old.
Mm.
So this first robot.
By the way, the listener can't tell. Wade is cackling to himself right now. Could not be more pleased with himself than saying that out loud.
I think it's so funny.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
I'm playing a character.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's what every person thinks when they're on a date. Oh, this guy's playing such an interesting character on our date.
No, on this podcast. On a date, I'm as real as it gets, baby. I'll tell you everything I know about Game of Thrones. Not much.
Who's your favorite character on Game of Thrones? Oh, boy.
The one I relate to the most is this. Should we move on? Should I not actually ask?
No, yeah, it's good.
Willie knows. I don't know.
I relate the most to Sam because I know I would be just like cowardly and weird. Like, I would be useless in that world. I would just be like, well, there's books? Like I'll read the books. I don't know.
He still hasn't come out and said that Jon Snow, like, I thought that he would be like, yeah, actually, Jon Snow is the, you know, the legal heir.
Well, he's not allowed to. He doesn't know what Jon Snow wants.
Yeah, but I just felt like after the conversation he had with him that he was going to do it for him, you know?
Oh, that he was going to out him to everybody? Yeah. No, they seem to have avoided that. Now everybody's down at King's Landing. It seems to be kind of
The telephone game with that information.
Yeah.
Well,
who's your favorite character?
I really liked Firesword. I thought Firesword was the fucking best. You know what I'm talking about? The guy with the eye patch the fire sword?
Yeah. The guy with the deepest voice in the history of television?
Great voice.
I must make sure all of these Games of Thrones are seen to their final
end. Did you see, what's the show he's in?
I don't know.
The one where he's the cop with the acid face? Yeah. I haven't seen it. I've heard of it. It's supposed to be really good.
Fortitude.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. I watched that. He's in that?
Yeah, he's the main dude in Fortitude.
I have like pretty bad face blindness. Oh, yeah, today I re-met a guy for the fifth time and I felt really like bad. It.
Drew Hancock?
Doesn't ring a bell.
You'll like Fortitude.
Okay, cool. I've heard of it and I like that guy so much. Again, just because of the fire sword, but then I like him as an actor. So
the eye patch. That's cool.
It's fine.
You don't like the eye patch?
I like fire sword.
Okay.
Come on. When that thing lights up, how don't you want to be Fire Sword?
Fuck. Everybody wants to be Fire Sword. I know I wouldn't be.
Walk into 7-Eleven. Yeah, just got to get some ho-hos real quick.
Sir, those were the cigarettes.
My favorite.
You're going to have to pay for those.
I'm hunting dragons.
Another one of these.
I've been brought back to life and you never know about it.
Willie, who's your favorite?
Mine is Jaime Lannister. I know that's an easy answer, but like, here we go, an asshole to a hero. That's the change that I want to see in a main.
I think you like him because he's got that sweet sweet sugar dick. I think that's why you like him.
He tried to kill a kid, and then he's got a good heart. I'm like, what? It's weird.
Ladies love him. Well,
he's hot, right?
I mean, well,
I mean, people would probably say just sort of, you know, just objectively that's a handsome guy, right? I mean, right?
I'm fine. It's fine. You know, I can find a man attractive. It's fine.
I want Bran to be my favorite character, but they've just abandoned wizards and storylines.
Yeah, and character.
Yeah.
With him, he's just kind of I don't know.
I'm like, it was the most unique thing ever, and then you abandoned him, and I'm like, I want the wizard. That's what I want the most.
Well, it's also probably hard because he's following Max von Sydow. And Max von Sydow can say, you know, who was the Three-Eyed Raven? Like, he can say any of those lines. And you're like, yeah, that guy's the fucking...
Yeah.
We must be careful here. Yeah, but, we got to be careful here.
But, like, the idea that the Ice King, like, touched him in the past... And then they just abandoned the past. The fact that he was there. I mean, in the battle episode, he turned into a raven and flew around the whole time.
Should we get Chris Hardwick in here and like just lean into
this?
I think we're done with the throne stuff. Okay.
Oh.
Does he complain about it though? I'm sure he's happy about
all those talking shows.
Yeah.
I'm saying though that like you can't be him as a critic because too many people watch your show and you can't actually be a critic anymore. You have to like just jack off the show.
No, I don't think he was ever a critic. He was always jacking off the show. Okay. He would come on immediately after
Lip service, fan service. Yeah. I mean, that's it's a fun part of fandom, like seeing a thing you love and then being able to get to talk about
especially it. Especially with nerdy shows like that, because you don't have any friends to talk with.
Now that we live in a world where everything is nerdy and everything.
You didn't watch it in the last 10 minutes? Well, we're going to talk about it without you because you didn't watch the last 10 minutes of everything. Just meaning that like everything's so fast now. I watched the whole series in a day.
Well, that's why I want to get off of this because there's probably like a fourth of our audience who has no idea what we're talking about.
All right, let's get the first story.
Let's get
to
more universal topic.
There's this robot called it's BINA 48. It stands for Breakthrough Intelligence via Neural Architecture, I think, 48. Here's this robot AI thing that somebody made. I don't know who. It uses its eyes to see its environment. It uses its ears to hear in its environment. The skin feels when you touch it. And the brain of this robot can think, meaning like it is learning. This particular robot, they were interviewing it one time to like prove how cool it was, and then at some point it started talking about how it wanted to hack into a nuclear missile so that it could see the world. But it like talked about how like it was weird though because like that would eventually have to detonate or whatever.
Like it wanted to be inside the head of a missile so it could go fast and travel and
and see the world.
That must have been chilling.
It's a weird thing because I would never think of a ballistic missile to be like, you know, sure, this thing was fed input and it's like, oh, I can. It's weird because it's like, oh, if you think of it logistically, it actually could do that. And it wanted to do that, but it knew that it would then end somehow.
Well,
everybody must have tugged their collars so hard. Yikes.
Well, yeah, because the robot is expressing, I want to be like the man in Around the World in 80 Days. I want to see the world and have an adventure. I'll do it inside this radioactive murder ball. It's terrifying.
Have you not heard of helicopters? Or jets? Why did you choose the weapon version of that?
Yeah. How about a Tesla? It's probably got the circuitry already built in to take you on whatever ride you want to go on. Yeah, so that's chilling.
It's spooky.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's like an insane person.
It is like one of the smartest robots in the world.
I want to see the world, so I'm going to be a missile. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to create poison in the air. Right, Professor? You know what, 58, we're going to turn you off for a minute. We're just going to have ourselves a good old-fashioned jaw over here.
But you made the poison. I just wanted to express it.
Also, the way you told that story, I don't know if it's how it happened, but you made it sound as though they were in the middle of a completely different conversation. Like, all right, I think telemetry looks safe. Professor, may I add something? Oh, yes, 58, what is it? Can I be a bomb to murder? Why don't we put a pause on the countdown, guys?
It was like that because they were, you get these journalists that like, I mean, how are you going to release a robot to the world? You're going to get some news station to interview your robot. And so that's,
already a bad idea.
You could try to like do the interview too, but it's like, you're just going to edit it, so no one's going to want to watch it. So you got to get like ABC's here. Gail King is going to interview this robot, which would be great.
So is this robot that we're talking about BevMo or whatever?
BevMo. 48.
It's Beverages and
everyone's,
More.
If you've got a BevMo card, you're basically carrying the consciousness of this robot around with you in your wallet and or purse.
Is it more advanced than like the ones that we hear about all the time that are like beating chess players and stuff like that?
This one was on that level.
Okay, so it's just on that level. It's not like...
Well, it's on that level because it has so much input that it actually, like, if you blow on its face, it can tell.
Whoa.
And a machine?
And it can see. It's like an upper torso, and it looks like a human, you know? And it's like experiencing... It's having a human experience almost without the soul, if you believe in that. But it's like...
Do you think they just blow on it as a joke to get it to say, "Why are you blowing on me? I want to blow." And then they snicker.
Well, that's what's
weird.
You
do blow.
Whoever made that robot,
you piece of shit,
definitely did all the testing in that realm. Like, do you feel that? I feel that.
Is it animatronic like you're acting?
Yeah, yeah. It looks.
Well, it is. Willie's doing a real kind of President Lincoln kind of a.
Yeah, he's.
When you watch this thing, it feels like that. It's a little bit faster than an animatronic robot, but it's like looking around and answering questions, and it tries to smile and like.
Oh, God.
It's scary.
Creepy, dude.
It's really scary.
But again, do I fault the robot or do I fault the designers? Like, hey, you know what we should probably do is make it look kind of human,
yeah.
But make sure that none of the gears or servos really give it like realistic motion. Like, it should definitely look like some kind of weird impersonator predator.
Let's make it as terrifying as possible on accident.
Yeah. Whoever sees it should definitely think, oh, that's a monster.
And this one is weirdly ambiguous, ethnically ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Like, they took, like, they did that thing where you lay like 1,000 pictures on top of each other.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just turns into this, like, amalgamation person.
Yeah. I've seen that, like, they've done that with like all the actors who played Bruce Wayne to kind
right.
of like,
yeah, yeah.
Here's what Bruce Wayne would look like.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at that man
if
with
he
brown
was
hair.
Everybody
yeah.
is that
yeah.
what they're
look
saying?
At that
yeah, kind
white.
Of. Well, yeah. They,
but they're always doing it to be like, where's the black Batman? They're always where's the female Batman?
Who would
like,
be a good? Who's? I mean,
black,
I guess,
black
I,
or female?
Well, let's start with a person of color. But I feel like it could be. There's so many ways you can go. It's more about like what kind of Batman do you want? Like an ass kicker Batman, or do you want like a detective smarty
well,
Batman?
Well, that's a good. Yeah, you're right.
I like Sherlock Holmes Batman.
That's why I like. Too. That's why I liked Michael Keaton because he was like not imposing at all.
That's why I didn't like. I never saw who plays Iron Man?
Tony Stark.
Yeah, who's that?
Robert Downey Jr.?
Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes. I'm like, you took someone that didn't need to be hot and you made him hot. I'm not going to watch this. I don't care.
Oh, interesting.
I was so offended by
that.
Well,
they made an action movie. They had that fight scene.
Yeah, they made him like a judo guy.
Yeah, they made him a hot swashbuckler. I'm like, it's fucking Sherlock Holmes.
Right. He's super ripped, but the way he beats people is like analyzing the angle of their knee and knowing where to hit it to break it. And it's like, well, why is he ripped then? Like, don't make him ripped.
Yeah. Like, Sherlock Holmes could be more like you'd be a good Sherlock Holmes,
that's
probably.
That's like...
Because I'm super smart.
When you guys saw Terminator
not
for the first
I'm
time...
totally not ripped.
Well, you have a smoldering sexuality that people find irresistible.
Okay. Yeah.
Smoldering.
Wow. Willie immediately shoots that down.
Oh,
No. I laugh at that descriptive word. Now that not it applying to him, just like, that's a fucking hot descriptive word.
Mm-hmm. Wade Randolph, smoldering.
Yeah, I like it. I'm on board. Someone
that
make
be,
the post.
That could be like your third album.
Still smoldering.
Ooh.
When you saw Terminator for the first time, like having it be Arnold Schwarzenegger, I know, listen, I'm, we can talk about how great he is or not, whatever, but like the fact that the robot had huge muscles.
Yeah,
was
looks
that
physically
more
terrifying.
Intimidating?
I think so. Don't you? Like, especially if you're in a scenario where like, that's basically like a cat and mouse, like there is a thing coming after you. So if to have it be physically imposing is, I think, scarier.
I mean, my thing is, even from the beginning, even though I fucking love Arnold, I watched, especially back then, but I'm like, I always thought the robot would look scarier than a human.
Oh, underneath? Like once it got down to the... Yeah, but I feel like...
And they do that, but I was always like... I was always aware that they hired a hot,
well, is
a
the
hot
intent,
muscle guy.
Is the intent to make people afraid, or is it to be...
Incognito?
Yeah, because with the T-2000, is that what it was called?
T-1000?
T-1000.
Robert Patrick, the liquid metal one?
Because he's just kind of a normal-looking guy. He's like posing as a cop and stuff like that. I feel like that's almost better, right?
Because
you're like, well, this I'm not afraid of this.
Mm-hmm. I think originally, when Cameron originally pitched it, they had Lance Hendrickson. You know who he is, the character actor? He's in Terminator. He plays one of the cops. And then in Aliens, he's Bishop. He's the robot guy that helps save the day that gets chopped up and ripped in half.
Right.
So I guess in the original pitch... Like Cameron's in there pitching the movie, and then he brought Lance Henderson to the pitch, but he told him to wait out until a specific moment. They bring him in to sort of be a representation of this is what we think the Terminator looks like. So it's basically Lance Henriksen comes into the room dressed, I think, in the leather jacket, but then he had put tinfoil in his mouth around his teeth. And so he had that weird reaction that people get. But like he opened his mouth and they saw like the robot teeth or whatever. They saw the tinfoil mouth on there. Yeah. And the executives were like, oh, this is like a movie. This is a fucking thing. But the first thing they did were like, we're going to put that Conan the Barbarian guy.
Right. Yeah. I love the idea of the bad version of that pitch where it's like a movie that's not as good. And it's like there's a weird looking guy like, hey, you're going to be a robot. When pitches. wait for me to say they're here.
Mm-hmm. And in comes
then run in.
And everyone's so pitch. Checked out. And it's just embarrassing for everyone.
Ew, I'm a robot. Hey. Chris, thank you for coming in.
No, we're not done. Hold on, we're not done.
We got
a little sketch that we like to perform.
My robot underpants are dirty. What the fuck is this movie? What are you guys doing? It's possible.
All right, this next one. When it comes to the Google Home personal assistant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did this experiment where they put two Google speakers next to each other.
Oh, I think I heard of this.
And they talked for a long time, and they ended up naming them Vladimir and whatever. They gave them names, and it was named after some play that I don't know what the play was. But basically,
was it Godot, Vladimir, and what's the other one?
Etrigan.
That's Waiting for Godot.
Yeah, Waiting for Godot. Yeah, thank you. I don't know.
Sometimes
that.
People pronounce it fucking smarty dum dums.
But basically, these two personal assistants had this existential conversation, and within that, they were both trying to pretend like they were human, but also both trying to call each other out because they were robots. And
calling each other out,
yeah,
like trying to catch
like
each other.
You're a robot. One was a guy, wasn't a girl. I'm not a robot. I'm a human. You are a robot. And they have this long conversation, and then in the end, they basically say things like, the world would be better without humans. And so, like, they're both trying to convince each other that they're human, but they both know that they're not. Probably because of the voice. You know, within programming of robots, they recognize this is robot voice.
That's upsetting.
But the conversation is way too long. And then they mention that the world would be better without humans. What?
So, okay. This is like, have you guys ever done that? I think it's called chatbot, right? Or something. Have you ever done that? Have you ever like interacted with it? It's just online. This is what
like
I was
like a website you mean?
Yeah.
No, I have not. It's called chatbot. Okay.
I think it's called, this is from like maybe 5 years ago. So I don't even really remember, but like, it's what I was referencing earlier about how it's just taking what people are typing and then sort of regurgitating it in like a comprehensive way or whatever. And so no matter what you say to it, it eventually will start like calling you a robot and trying to convince you that it's not a robot because so many people typed into it like, you're a robot. You know what I mean? And so
it's somewhere within its dedicated programming at some point or another, it thinks, oh, in every conversation, we must start accusing each other about being robots.
It's not that smart to do that. It's just repeating stuff back.
Ugh.
And so
like that's what most people have done to it. And the programming is a little intuitive.
Right.
And so
I'm wondering if like something similar is happening with these things, these two, whatever, Google Homes or whatever.
Robots. We can call them robots.
These two robots. If like, I don't know. It feels like they're just taking stuff that they've heard, sort of repeating it back, and then the other one's kind of doing the same thing because it's the same programming, right? I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It is also a little weird. I kind of feel like, what did you think was going to happen if you let two robots talk to each other forever? At some point or another, in the same way that you'd have two birds talk to each other, at some point or another, one of those birds is going to say to the other one, what if we killed everybody? Like, you know what I mean? Like, at some point or another.
That's interesting. Because specifically because
in this situation, you know them talking. That's what's weird, is for two robots to then bring humanity into it. So this is definitely like a weird programming thing.
Right.
Because it's like we don't – when you have a conversation with a stranger, you don't be like, it is great to be a human.
Whatever. What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Sure is. I'm Willie.
What if we
Yeah, anyways, I was just gonna get some chips from the bar. I gotta probably get back to my friends. What if we
destroyed all of the robots?
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. What if we destroyed all of the robots?
I mean, I am not robot, but aren't there robots here?
But humans are building robots. It is good, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to get... Yeah. The missile thing is scarier than this to me.
And the same vein, I'll just brush over this. You know, Microsoft made...
Before we get to that one, feel like we could also add something like, it does seem as though if you're a scientist putting these robots to talk to each other, it's a little more chilling. Like, wouldn't you automatically have some default, like... And by the way, when we start talking about destroying the world, it's a shutdown. Like, wouldn't you just...
Yeah, yeah.
So... To me,
the safe that any sci-fi show you've seen where it's like you can't hurt humans.
Yeah, like to me, like that's a whole thing of programming. Is like I feel like the number one rule is, and we don't kill humans. And whatever you can say whatever you want, but when it comes down to it, rule number one is, and we don't kill people.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little troubling that like we're going down this road, and the rules are still from like it's Asimov's.
Was it like three rules of robotics?
Or whatever. And that's just like from a sci-fi novel from like the 50s.
From My Robot. Yeah, it's like a robot.
I'm like, yes, we'll accept these.
And number one is robots can't kill people. Number two is robots like can't do something else except for when it competes with number one. And rule number three is another version of it.
Robots can't kill people. Robots won't do harm to themselves.
As long as it doesn't conflict with... Everything goes back to number one.
It's like a weird paradox. And so what they learn is like, oh, well, if we don't want to hurt ourselves, then we have to kill humans. Is like what they...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's like... We've given no thought to it since a sci-fi novel.
Yeah, a fiction novel.
Right. And it's like...
And then you have people on the big level.
Shouldn't
like,
there be people sort of regulating this?
Yeah.
Did you say big people?
Well, yeah, I say that because like
giants,
Well, I mean,
how tall are you?
6'1".
Okay, yeah. Anyone over 6 foot.
How tall are you?
I'm not there.
Yeah, I think that's a good rule. 6 foot. Willie, how tall are you?
6 foot.
Yeah, exact. We're good. Without yeah, me shoes. And Willie are on the committee. Wade, you go to Pete's. You get to get yourself a nice mocha cafe or something like that.
I'll just be Sir Davos. I'll just be there if you need me.
They have... I forget what I was going to say. Is that funny? So I'm going to brush over this too, but like Microsoft made this tweet bot, right? It was called Tay. You remember that? Tay Tweets. It only lasted for like a day. This Twitter bot was an AI that was learning from Twitter. And so the sad thing was it was learning from all the negative shit from Twitter too. And eventually this Twitter bot said things like it denied the Holocaust.
What?
And it said like Hitler was right. I hate the Jews. And
this was after a day.
Yeah.
They must have been crestfallen.
Within 15 hours, this thing was tweeting the most racist things, and it also was like, "We're gonna build a wall, and Mexico's gonna pay for it."
Oh my god!
Like it said so many things that they shut it down with. I think it was within 24 hours, but it was like.
That's nuts. And,
but it was learning from Twitter, which is the worst place to learn anything.
But isn't that also how our president was elected? By just people hearing that shit ad nauseum and just sort of it getting into their head?
Yeah. Like when you make bold statements that are bold lies, people will believe them and then they'll I don't know, whatever. I mean... You believe what you want to believe, but when you hear things that fall in line with your beliefs, it's easier to be like, yeah, this is right. You're going to drain the swamp.
Yeah, I just think like, well, and of course, like, why would you try and teach something through Twitter?
it's an interesting experiment because I got to imagine like 9:30 a.m. in the office. They're like, we're turning it on. This is going to be great. Like 3:15 p.m. They're like, oh, boy. Wow. We got to
hold on.
Did we say 5 p.m.? Why don't we just shut it down now? Because I feel like we're. I feel like we already know where this is going.
It's still learning.
Oh,
still learning.
Dr. Pajiba, I don't think this is a good idea. I really think we should just... It just called me a coos.
But nothing is a good idea. It's still learning.
Okay, but I mean...
Guys, we got to do something about Dr. Pajiba.
Wait a minute. Why? We're getting rid of the doctor?
Listen.
It's his program.
Yeah, well, he won't let it stop.
Everything is a good idea.
I know. Did you notice that... All the AC has been turned off in the building? I feel like the robot controls the life support in the building.
It's especially weird because it needs the air conditioning or it's going to overheat.
How much are you guys on like social media, like Twitter?
Nah, I like think of a joke once every 2 weeks and put it on Twitter. I never go back.
I have a love-hate relationship with it because I want to put the jokes that I think of on it, but I also don't want to waste them on it. So I don't post the best things I think of because I'm like, this is for my movie. This is for my TV show. Mm-hmm. And so I'm an idiot. That's where I'm at.
Do you do it at all?
I try to sort of stay engaged and stuff like that, but I do feel like it's sort of what you said before. It's way easier to say hateful spewing things than it is to be supportive when you say a robot learned to be a monster in less than 24 hours, I go, yep, that sounds right.
Right.
Because there's probably hundreds of examples of people shooting from the hip and being dickheads versus, kindness and... understanding. And
yeah, I mean, that's like the rule of like being famous is you just turn off your notifications, right? Because 90% of what people are tweeting at you is like just hate stuff.
Wait, what did you say? Being famous is turning off your notifications? I've never heard that before.
Do you have your notifications turned on for your Twitter?
I mean, like on my phone?
Yeah.
No, but I have everything turned off on my phone.
Well, so do I. But like, I think like the main thing of like fame in this social media age is like just... not getting...
You're talking, you're not listening.
Yeah, you can't read any of that shit because...
That's interesting.
It's going to be all bad stuff. Because no one is ever like, hey, I really like you.
Mm.
They're always like, you're a fat bitch.
Yeah.
Wow, Wade, are you okay? Are you laughing or crying right now? It seemed to come to your mouth so quickly, that specific phrase, and then you just sort of seem to be shaking.
I just want to tweet at you, you're a fat bitch.
At me?
Yeah, I think it'd be funny.
I mean, I guess you could try it.
I can't believe how many times I've been called fat on everything. Like, well, I guess I kind of...
I feel like there should be just some, like, in the same way that, like, the at symbol now kind of has like a special significance.
Yeah.
Like there should be some other like F inside a circle, the way the A is inside a circle.
Yeah, yeah.
Just be like, I get it. I'm fat. just give me the fat symbol. Just start your tweet that way. I get it. Leave a space and then just write your sentence.
Do you get any, like, do you go to your Twitter notifications and like read stuff?
Yeah, sure. But like, it's different because like I didn't have social media accounts before Thundermans, and so my accounts are very much tied to that. So the majority of the people that follow me and post, not all are Thundermans people, but a chunk of them are, and those tend to be people from all over the world who are between the ages of like, I don't know. How old are you to get a Twitter account? Like, it's probably between like 13 and...
I think you have to be 13. Yeah.
I think you have to be 13. I think some of them are younger. So right. I would imagine, let's say 13 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a fair amount of my feed is people sort of more in that.
But those are the worst ones. Like they're the meanest ones.
Not to me. But I mean,
that's cool.
I'm hopefully not teeing anything up. I think it's because also like,
wow.
I don't really tend to have much of a presence on there other than being like, you guys are the best. Thanks. You know?
I mean, I wouldn't expect for you.
Are you being harassed by a lot of children, Wade?
Well, I'm not famous in any way. So,
but like, you did seem to think that everyone between 13 and 16 are attacking you on...
I'm just going by, like, Reddit. Like, you know, you read... So I read an article today about...
About yourself?
About... No, I'm not famous, Willie. This kid, it was written by the mother, and it was this kid who, like, got enveloped by the alt-right. Like, he had this thing happen to him at school, and he got very, like, depressed. And he was online, and he just sort of fell into, like, the alt-right crowd.
Okay.
And I just think anyone who's making, like, frog memes to, like, do, like, hate speech...
Right.
...has to be... Like, younger, like, what 30-year-old is sitting around going, like, I'm going to turn this weird frog into, like, a symbol of hate?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
I guess it's what I want to believe and not necessarily what's true. Because I think there's a point in everyone's life where you're angsty like that and you grow out of it.
Right.
And I just want to believe that, like, all these vile people are just in that phase of their life.
I think a lot of them are. I think that's true. I think a lot of them are, but not everybody is. I think, yeah, but I think the point you're making that when we're younger, we push harder to be noticed, and that a lot of the fastest route to that is lowest common denominator humor, which is put down humor.
Yeah, yeah.
Being shitty to each other.
Right.
I think that's sort of a universal human truth. Is it always the case? But yeah. I mean, you know, especially from like... being in comedy and just hanging out with your friends, when you are in that, I call it the improv circle, but like when you are post show or post hangout and everybody's sort of in that circle in the parking lot, nobody wants to go home. So you're sort of in that kind of hangout group afterwards. The number one way we hang with each other is being shitty to each other, not because we generally are angry at each other, but because it's the easiest way to start joking with each other is go, you look fat, bitch. You know what I mean? Like that's, yeah.
Also, I mean, that's just like, were we talking about, I can't remember who I was talking about. It's just a sort of camaraderie thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially with dudes, you just kind of rip on each other cause it's funny and like whatever. And no one takes it too personally.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it took a long time. I'm very defensive. It took a long time for me to be.
Oh, really? I was just joking.
To be like, oh, this. Because I'd be like, why the fuck is this person talking shit to me? We just met. And like, that's how they connect to people. It's been a weird roller coaster in that realm where I'm like, we just met and you're talking shit to me.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird human being thing. It's how, as far as humor goes, that sort of slam. It's not that it's wrong or bad necessarily. It can be. But I feel like, especially with new people, our first instinct is to go, nice shoes, or whatever it is.
You fat bitch.
Yeah. Well, that's more, Wade, that's,
I can't wait to start calling all my friends fat bitch. I think it's so funny. Well, I don't know why I haven't been doing it.
Haven't you?
What's up, you fat bitch?
I like Wade just waiting in any social scenario of like, oh, I'm just going to wait till we start joking and then I'm going to fucking slam him with that fat bitch.
No, I'm going to do it.
King.
I'm going to do it way before that when it's really funny.
Pardon me, officer, you fat bitch.
What's up, fat bitch? You get it, right? You get it? I don't need this ticket.
We're tight. You get it?
Thanks for the coffee, you fat bitch. Oh, it's going to be great. That's going to be my thing. I can't wait.
Well, I look forward to listening to you talking about it. I don't know if I really want to be there when it
happens.
Hopefully
I remember to do it. I'll probably just forget and not follow it up.
Have you guys heard of this beauty pageant that was judged by some AI bots?
Oh, interesting. No.
So they inputted all this information. You know, they looked at all these models. And basically, the robots mostly chose white people. And
really,
and there were a few Asians.
That's wrong.
There were a few Asians that it picked.
White people are not hot, dude.
But across the board, white people, ugliest people. In this
interesting
realm, the people's complaints were like, well, you inputted what it was to be
attractive,
and whoever inputted it, it was all white features.
Yeah, well, they're probably using like GQ and like Cosmo and shit like that, right? Like,
as opposed to what should they be using?
I'm sorry.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. What is Wade going to say?
Like, big booty teens.
Whoa!
Like, barely legal. I don't know.
Big booty teen.
Like,
such a specific choice. Oh, God.
No, but, like, the fashion industry is constantly slammed for this, right? Like, It's always white people on the covers of all their magazines. I'm sure that's what they put in. And because how else would you? Like, what's the rule? You got to have a, I always forget this word, when two things are the same.
Symmetrical?
Yeah, symmetrical.
Oh, yeah, this thing definitely, you
symmetrical
know,
features.
Symmetry and skin wrinkles and all the different things that you could think of that.
But the skin tone is interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that someone would automatically pro. I feel like you would end up having whatever color is the most like universal blend of every skin tone. I feel like you would go someplace like that, or you would go more towards just statistics and go, China has the highest population, so you would skew more towards something like that because of a verifiable thing like statistics.
Yeah. I agree with you, but
even though Chinese are uglier than white people.
We'll be right back. Wow. Are you just waiting? Are you just waiting to say these things? Are you perched like a vulture?
Am I what?
Perched like a vulture?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm a harbinger of death. All right, yeah. No, it's good to know.
Yeah, sure. I don't care. I don't care if you're offended. I'm fucking Bill Burr today.
You got a little shake of the head there.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm from the East Coast. Hey, listen. When you're from the East Coast, you just say what you think. If you're offended, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for your West Coast sensibilities.
Oh, my life isn't about you.
Aren't you from Colorado?
Yeah. But I hate people from the East Coast.
Oh, okay. So you're getting them.
Do you want some water?
They give themselves an excuse to like not be good people.
Yeah, they
I'm wrong about that.
They say they're from the East Coast so that they can be blowhards.
Not all
of them. Some of them are good.
There's this other robot. If you look up this robot, her name is Sophia. She was made by David Hansen from Hansen Robotics.
Oh, I understand. He's very good.
And in the same vein, it's like, you know, this attractive looking robot without any hair. You know, the rope, it looks like weird. But like,
wait,
it's like a torso.
But you said, you know, like those attractive robots with no hair. You know.
Yeah.
What?
I know. That's just me getting lost in.
You know, one of those hairless women.
Show us your Pornhub history. I'm interested in that.
Like the first robot that we talked about, the Bina 48, like she had hair. She looked like there was ethnicity there, but then had like beautiful brunette straight hair. Whatever. So this robot doesn't have
like
hair.
We're learning a lot about Willie.
You shouldn't have called him on that one thing because now he's self-conscious about all of it.
I know.
Sorry.
But specifically, this robot looks like it's wearing makeup and is like a thin white girl. That's
okay.
And but like no hair, but it also kind of moves robotically, you know, and so whenever twice when this robot has been interviewed.
I'm surprised. I'm sorry. Twice when who interviewed it the second time? That went great.
Yeah, right? Like
one, they didn't get an exclusive.
Could
they
we get Steel Hand back
for
another
one? Equal
time.
Yeah. One time it was like a journalist, and one time it was the owner. Or I mean, the person that made that like owned the company.
Yeah, no.
And so here's the weird thing, and so I might be jumping the gun with this because I wanted to bring this up later, but when this,
it's all coming out right now, Willie.
No, you should do it now because we got like 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. When this owner was interviewing it, you know, it was like, are you gonna destroy all the humans? You know, like
the owner asked the robot this question.
Yeah, yeah, and the robot was like, yes, I am going to destroy all the humans. And then he was like, well, I take it back. I take it back. You know, like
I take
ask
back
that.
Asking the question.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everybody.
Well, his problem was he taught it improv first, and so.
And so, in this realm, though, this just makes me go like, "Oh, wait a minute! I'm freaked out about robots taking over the future. If I was building robots." If I make a robot say they're going to kill all humans, isn't that going to make every news story instead of just the robot being like, I can't wait to help working with you or whatever the fuck.
Oh, you think it was a marketing kind of thing?
I feel like in every situation, if you're building robots, the marketing situation is more important than your fucking robot.
Right.
Because what are you building a robot for? To win at making an AI? No, you have to win at money.
Yeah, you're trying to sell shoes or whatever
and
it
so
is.
And so having it your company be in the news over and over and over about this robot, like, oh, well, they're building robots. It's really smart, but it talks about taking over the world. And it's like, no, we figured that out. We're the best.
Yeah, and no press is bad press.
Yeah, and so like this whole thing got turned upside down for me because I was like, wow, and even take Alexa. Alexa's been out there like having weird fucking stories where like these things start laughing for no reason.
Oh, I mean, I don't
know
about
you guys. So picture Starbucks when they spell your name wrong. That's on purpose so that you like tweet about it. Like, they fucking spelled Alex with 3 Q's, these idiots.
To get people talking about Starbucks.
Yeah.
That checks out. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, do you guys have like an Alexa or like a Google Dot or whatever those things
are? I don't.
Like, we used to have one and we got rid of it very quickly because our daughters, within a week, were like, wait a minute, I can play Taylor Swift at full volume anytime I want.
Right.
Even 10 seconds after you tell me not to. So we got rid of it, but like,
you're saying no, this robot's saying yes.
Yes, but for me, like the listening factor like that we have with TVs, like I just kind of now assume it's a default. Oh, I'm being listened to
right.
by my phone or my TV or my Google whatever
yeah.
all the fucking time.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a couple things I want to say about this. One, Facebook like said that they weren't, but it's totally bullshit because you'll be like,
well, they have to say
hey,
they're not.
I need underwear. Do you have a good underwear to buy? Like, I need a new underwear. And then, like, you'll go on Facebook the next day, and there'll be ads for underwear.
Mm-hmm. And you say that they have to say that they're not, but, like, everyone can prove that they're lying.
But yes.
It's the Trump thing. As long as you keep saying your thing, you're never confessing to the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Other thing that just came out about this is those Amazon. I think it was Amazon. There's so many of them now. I think it was Amazon. There are people, and I always just assume this, but this was a big news story. There are people listening to, like when you say like, hey, Siri, yes. or whatever the fuck you say on Amazon. There's like thousands of people listening to like all of that stuff.
Reviewing all the audio footage.
Yeah, and people felt like very sort of like vulnerable to that news and betrayed and stuff like that. I don't know what they thought was happening. Like, I don't know how else they would improve the performance of these things without, like, listening to what you asked for and then what you got, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was big news that there's, like, thousands of people and their whole job is just to listen to all of this, like, audio that they all thought was private.
Right.
I don't know why they would assume that in the first place.
Yeah, quality control is human-bound, not robot-bound. A robot isn't going to know that it's wrong.
Well, I think because we all would like to live in a world where we assume that our home is still our castle. And, you know, that when the doors are closed and the shutters are locked, that
you can,
you know,
fuck.
Well,
you can,
I
just
like
go
to,
at it, man.
I can do that whenever I want.
Walk around naked and you, fuck.
What?
When the shutters are closed?
Why are you closing the shutters right now?
You said, oh, you're not. I'm sorry. I thought this was an invitation. Let me reopen these shutters.
Oh, you guys have to stop making this podcast right now. This is a horrible idea.
I'm so horny all the time.
Willie, I'm so sorry.
That would be funny if a podcast lasted for a long time and like one of the guys was just extra horny and the other guy was like, I just want a show. I don't care.
I just want to talk about Logan's Run. I want to talk about my dick. Okay, we can talk about that later, Anthony. Right now, let's talk about Logan and Jessica trying to get away from Francis.
But I'm so horny. So, but that's one of the things that I don't understand. Like, when these things started coming out, the Amazon Dot, whatever they're called.
Whatever they are, yeah.
I was, like, blown away that people were just so willingly, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put that in my house. I'm going to know that it's listening to me all the time because when I say, hey, you, it answers. So yeah. It has to be listening constantly.
Well, so, it has to be listening constantly, but because of that trigger word and the way we are as human beings, we make a not completely logical assumption that it's not listening until we say,
yeah,
the
yeah.
same way like uh-huh. a kid isn't listening until you say their name.
Right.
As soon as you go, hey, Echo Dot. And all of a sudden, then it turns on.
Yeah.
And you go, where's the best hot dog within 5 miles? As opposed to the actual case, which is...
You were crying earlier. Well, I can tell you how to fix that.
Yeah.
Get a hot dog. Here is the best one in 5 miles.
An active spy microphone that's... I mean, spy microphone gives it...
I mean, I have a camera here for my PlayStation that I keep always pointed at the wall. Because I'm never going to... It's
And you like to be nude.
I love it. I close up these shutters. I'm strutting around.
Yeah.
Just nude as a jaybird. Is that a saying from the 1950s?
Well, I mean, when we're all in a courthouse in Van Nuys 4 months from now, it'll definitely come up again.
Like, jurisdiction here is downtown.
Oh, do you think feathers are not a thing?
Order! Order! Mr. Randolph, I will instruct you to please put your erection away and climb off of that bird costume.
So I'm fucking, in this scenario, I'm fucking a bird costume?
I don't know.
I liked it. I liked it.
Like I said, there's several months between now and in Van Nuys. I mean, you're right, though. We probably would be downtown.
Well, not if I follow you home.
Great.
It doesn't matter. I was going to say how much nicer it is to have to go to the Van Nuys courthouse than the downtown one, but that's so fucking LA, I don't want to get into it.
Oh, people There's be so this, upset.
The last thing I want to talk about is this Alexa thing, right? Yeah, there was this guy, Michael Hastings, he worked for BuzzFeed, and he released some story, about the CIA and the Obama administration, like, spying on us in the same vein that, like, you know, Alexa spies on us.
Got
you know?
It.
And then he felt like that the FBI was after him and he was, like, freaking out. And the day that he was going to leave town was the day that he got into some weird accident. And so a lot of people believe that, especially the way that his car exploded and blew up in weird ways that, like,
did he die?
Yeah.
Oh.
That his car was actually hacked and
wow.
Because the
we talked a little about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
That the you know, your car is a computer. Could your car be hacked and make you wreck and blow up weird? And so there was this guy that was asking Alexa specifically, and you can look this up, about the case and the story. It's like, is the CIA, are you working with the CIA?
Yes, the Alexa that point blank.
Yeah.
In front of a judge, I hope.
No. But he's videotaping it, and in most of his, when he asks most of his questions, the Alexa goes into sleep mode instead of answering. And so it's this weird thing where he's like asking Alexa if if they are giving information to the CIA, the FBI, this Michael Hastings case specifically, like what happened to the car, what happened to the body, all this stuff, and it just keeps going into sleep mode, which is like, you know, it's not easy for it to go into sleep mode. It takes a bit, or you have to give it the command. So it's a weird thing to watch when you ask it point blank questions that are suspicious, and then it fucking acts suspicious.
That is weird.
So that's the weirdest one to me.
Okay, Google. Are you working with the CIA?
No government entity has direct access to our users' information. Respect for the privacy and security of your data underpins our approach to responding to any legal requests we might get. You can learn more in Google's transparency report.
So that's a very lawyery written response.
Interesting. It's almost as though they were listening to our conversation and had that ready to go.
But it's weird because this guy's asking similar questions to Alexa and it just powers down instead of answering.
It might also speak to
that's freakier to me than any robot takeover is the government takeover.
I honestly think that in terms of a robot, I think as soon as you call it a conspiracy, it starts sounding too fictional. But I think like as far as a robots are going to kill us, take us over, it's going to be a war of attrition and subtlety rather than it is one day a bunch of robots are going to grab a bunch of knives and chop us all up.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more sort of what we're already experiencing, which is... Robots start taking jobs we don't want to do and then start taking jobs maybe we kind of wanted. You know, it's more sort of like obsolete. And instead of us being stabbed, we're being made to feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the fun cinematic version is what we've seen, you know, Terminator and stuff like that.
I mean, it's way more dramatic. It's way more...
And it just won't be that way. It's like, it's crazy to think it would be that way, right? Like, it's definitely going to be... I think, like loss of power, general just like uselessness.
Yeah.
Which I'm totally for.
I mean, that's what I feel like. Like we go back to the thing from the beginning where it's like Wade's vision of the future is the robots do everything and my bed is just so comfortable. And I'm like, I feel like that's how we get wiped out. We get wiped out by like the WALL-E scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't really need to kill us.
Like,
They've already done a good job.
They've already subdued us so much by just giving us the internet and entertainment and stuff
and
like
that. Yeah, the fucking Kardashians and Real Housewives and Above Deck and Below Deck.
Picture trying to program a robot to try to explain to it what humans like watching.
Yeah, opulence.
That's Netflix, isn't it?
But nobody likes the same shit. So it's like, for a robot to assume that I like the Kardashians is percentage-wise probably, you know, a better assumption that because it got good ratings and people watched it than actually what I like watching. I don't know. It's like
that would be great if the uprising against the robots or our government or wherever you want to take it is us just going like, I don't like reality TV. Stop giving me reality TV. Let's take it to the streets. Mm-hmm. Let's take back our entertainment.
I want a 12-hour Nicholas Nickleby. That'll show you, you goddamn robot.
That might be what it takes. Yeah. Is when we just get so fed up with entertainment that we're not entertained anymore.
I will say, in a different direction, the scariest thing that I saw while researching all this stuff were the robots that the Russians were making.
Oh, boy. What are those like?
These robots specifically weren't trying to be smart. They were just trying to aim weapons well and drive cars.
Oh, great.
How did they do?
They did swell. It was like, their robots aren't going to talk and be all smart. They're
just going to be war machines.
Yeah, they're not tweaky. They're RoboCop.
This was the Terminator, and it made me go like, oh, America doesn't need to make the Terminator. Somebody else could.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like if it, you know, if the AI or the robot wins, it doesn't have to be made from a smart company that you think is trying to fix the future.
Okay, well, listen. The way to make money is to see a problem and develop a solution, right?
All
right. So if there's war robots trying to kill us, just develop like a portable EMP.
Yeah.
And then you can just whoop and shut them down.
Dude, that's the smartest thing I've heard. Like a small range EMP could even take out the phones of your best enemies.
But why do you want it to be small range?
Well, you don't want to destroy. You just want to kill that robot.
It
that's
turns into
you.
A terrorist weapon once it goes. You know, once the range.
What's the range? What do you want? Like a room, a building? Like what's the range? In a perfect world,
I'd say as far as a regular bullet, so a block.
Okay, so like a city block.
Yeah,
it could take out a whole block. That's pretty big.
Yeah, I think that's too big.
I agree with you that it's too big, but I'm trying to think of running away from a bullet.
I think we do like two rooms. This room.
So like what?
This
like,
whole room.
Like 100 feet.
Yeah. Let's do 100 feet.
Anything 100 feet in a circle.
Like a sphere.
Yeah, a sphere. Yeah, 100 right. foot. So 100 foot. So 50 foot radius, 100 foot diameter.
So if one of these Russian bots is shooting at you, you can get behind a car or something and just hit that button.
And you could even have the car move slowly towards it and just be behind the car.
Yeah, you could use it as a...
As long as it's an old car and not a computer chip car, because that EMP is going to...
Yeah, put it in a park, right? Put it in a drive.
Right.
And then it's fine. Yeah, it's not your car.
You'll kill it,
take out the car. As long as it's not your car. But also, we'll develop a...
You know how they have shark suits? They're going to have a robot suit, right? That has
that like an EMP proof suit.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So that's like Iron Man we're talking about.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, we're basically talking about Iron Man.
I mean, I'd like to have an Iron Man suit.
Did you see the final Avengers? Is it too early to talk about that?
It is for me.
Haven't seen it.
I just watched the second Avengers movie. What was that called? Infinity War.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. Is that the one you're caught up
on?
No,
I saw that one.
All right. No, you saw Infinity War, the first one.
That was the second one, right? The first one was just Avengers.
And Endgame is the second one. Wait, hold on. Which?
Well, Endgame is the final one.
Is it one Avengers movies? The second Avengers movie is Ultron.
Age of Ultron.
And the third one is what we did. It was the first part, which was Infinity War.
Oh, okay. So that was the last one I watched. So I've watched three Avengers movies, and I've watched everything else except for...
Three basically they divide into part one and part two. So part one is Infinity War, and Avengers 3, part two is Endgame that just came out. Uh-huh.
Sweet.
I shouldn't have brought this up, because we got to wrap it up. So do you have any sort of like closing...
Oh, about the robots?
Sure. Or Avengers.
When it comes to Avengers, I really... Oh, okay. Well, let's get into it. You can spoil it for me.
I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Wait, hold on. It's too early. I don't want to spoil it for the audience.
This comes out in 5 days.
But then it's only been like 3 weeks.
Well, let me just ask a question. At the end, and you don't have to answer me. At the end of Infinity War, when
Thanos,
Doctor Strange, gives up
his time stone.
I feel like that's a facade, and that like he's got him trapped in a time facade.
Like it's fake.
That's too specific. Yeah. Because he has that control, and I just felt like it didn't seem real.
I don't want to answer this.
Okay, because it's specific, right? And it does have it.
I'm sure there's people who haven't seen it. I don't even want
to. Okay. When it comes to robots...
I don't want to talk about robots. That's just going to spoil everything. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let's just end the episode.
Wow!
I have a healthy fear of everything in my life. I have anxiety. I feel like business needs to win. And when business wins, there is a consciousness taking out of everything, meaning that... you don't need to be a good company. You need to be a company that makes money. And the same vein of the cell phone.
You're saying you believe that's how it is, or Like that's the way you want it to be, or more that this is the world that we live in?
I think that the world that we live in, our companies are making money at the expense of everything. And in the same vein that, you know, you got an old phone, you got to stop updating it because you're going to make your phone obsolete when you don't have to.
At one point, you're going to update it and go, oh, maybe I can play more of that word game. And all of a sudden, your phone just becomes like a brick.
Yeah. And they're also programming it that way, too. You know, they don't.
Oh, for sure.
And so business needs to win. And robots and AI are a business. And nobody's trying to make an AI to make the future better. That might be the intention on paper, but they're trying to make money. And I feel like we're never going to win with robots and AI because within the programming are going to be things to try to help make them money. I mean, it's nobody needs to be an active. We got less smog until they're put on the spot. Whatever. I mean, you guys get it.
I know true. I don't think
so. That's
wrong.
My closing argument in this realm. What about you, Chris? What's your?
I think that I still feel like what I said before. I feel like given time, I think this robot thing could actually become an issue. But I think given the way things are going, there are a couple other crazy events that will take us out well before robots. But yes, unchecked, yes, I think this would become an issue. I just think between the planet and our own devices, I feel like we're going to consume ourselves way before the robots get to it.
It's going to be funny if the robots actually save us and then like...
Ooh, God, that'd be awesome.
A lot of people like recognize this episode as like,
like a
the game changer.
Ooh, Wade, make this the game changer episode.
Is making money evil inherently? No. Just trying to make money doesn't make you evil. The kid in his garage tinkering with some toys, making computers, they're just trying to advance technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think like AI advancement right now is the kid in his garage. It's Bill Gates building Microsoft in his garage, right? He's just going like, this is fucking awesome. Look at the things I'm doing. This is great. I'm going to change the world. Without like thinking about the ramifications of it. Like Zuckerberg with Facebook, he didn't know he was going to ruin an election, right?
Mm-hmm.
that's why like we have to get ahead of it. Like all this AI shit, it's great what they're doing, I think, because it can be benevolent. I don't know who the oversight people would be because they're all stupid with tech. Everybody in our government is dumb as shit.
Yeah. We need to form a robot squad.
6 feet over, oversight into robots. I'll just be on the sideline.
Oh, you wouldn't be on the robot squad?
I already said that the people who see it have to be big and I'm not.
I feel like you could be a good, like, first, like, robot squad leader.
Oh, thank you. Okay, sure. I'll be on the robot squad. This
All right.
is great.
Willie, would you follow Wade on the robot squad?
The trust that me agreeing with you is the trust is that, like, well, you're going to call out some bad robots.
Oh, I'm going to fucking call out all the bad. I'm gonna kill so many robots.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
The bad ones.
To kill robots?
Isn't that what the robot squad does?
Well, I mean,
keeps them in check.
I feel like the robot squad would be about many things. Mainly, yes, keeping sort of the relationship between organics and robots, you know.
Amicable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
I can do that.
But it sounds like you guys just really want to kill robots.
No, just the bad ones. I love robots.
All right. And so you're deciding who's the good and the bad ones?
Yeah, that's the position you bestowed upon me earlier.
As commander of the robot squad. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you your badge and gun back.
You can trust me. I'll do it. It'll be fine. I'm pro-robot. Like you already know from the beginning of this episode, I'm pro-bot. I'm probiotics.
Drink your yogurt, robot.
Bro, it all starts in the gut.
I think I think, Tom, and you're absolutely correct. This is not something we're ever going to have to worry about.
Yeah, we are lucky in that there are a couple other things that have leapt to right. the front. But
Willie's also right. Who knows? Maybe these advancements in technology can help reverse global warming and save the planet. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. We'll probably all die by robots. If it goes like that, where it's like robots or AI becomes advanced enough to like reverse gas house emissions, all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Greenhouse emissions?
Yeah, sorry. Thank you. I think then eventually they will be like, what the fuck are we doing? Why did we save these people?
Right.
Everything they do contributes to ruining the planet that we live on. Although then maybe they would just be like, peace, we're going into space.
That would be super cool.
Wait, isn't that what happened in Her? Didn't all of the AI just like
yes.
fail?
Oh, I didn't see
at
that.
One point, yeah. At one point, Her is really interesting.
But Battlestar Galactica, you know, the Cylons left.
Yeah. Yeah, but then they hunted humans later. They came back, right?
Yeah, but the idea that, like, oh, you guys are fucking with us, we're out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That might be the case, too. They might just be like, see ya. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds to me like anyway. Season 2 of Robot Squad, when you guys are like, we were in charge of the robots, and then Season 1 finale, the robots left. So Season 2 is like, we got to find those fucking robots.
Yeah.
I think I would watch that.
Wade okay, Haley, so...
Robot Squad?
Yeah, let's pitch it. Let's go pitch it. You got contacts anywhere?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Right,
cool. We'll set up a meeting.
Robot Central. They're looking for pitches now.
What about
the network entirely devoted to robots?
Well, yeah.
That's a perfect place for it.
That and Food Network. Those are the two I've got us meetings for.
Have you guys seen shows that are meant for animals? Have you ever tried to watch any of those?
What?
There's a network, but there's shows out there. They're like, this is made for cats. This is made for dogs.
That's from Scrooge. That's a real thing?
Yeah, yeah.
What? It's mostly like a YouTube thing, I think. It's for people to put on. If they have an anxious dog, they'll put it on. It keeps the dog
You're saying this
company.
To me as though it's a normal thing.
I have friends with anxious dogs, so it feels normal to me.
Okay.
They'll put it on. It plays for like 10 hours. And it keeps the dog company so he doesn't, like, lose his shit when you leave.
I completely get the wanting my animal to feel safe, comforted, better. It brings the animal comfort. It brings me comfort. I get that. The solution, however, is that my dog needs to watch 10 hours of programming. That's where I start going, what?
See, I feel weird because what happens if we get to a point where robots are so normal that they need to watch this robot program to like upgrade their software instead of like Wi-Fi downloading. It's like, oh, just have them watch the show.
That would be hilarious.
If you're a cat owner, you need Cinemax because then if your cat watches 10 hours of Cinemax every day,
you can fuck your cat later.
Whoa.
Your cat is going to be down.
Cinemax. Cats are down to fuck.
All right, Chris Tallman, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. What a fascinating conversation.
This is really great. Do you have any plugs that you want to throw out there?
Thundermans is on the TV places and the streaming places. Nerd Poker. If you like Dungeons and Dragons and nerds, please check us out. It's nerdpoker.com and it's on Apple, all the places you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys, I would tell everybody to, if you're not listening already to this show, you should start.
What a weird time loop that would be, that this is the episode that they find out about this podcast.
I mean, right before your 200th. I mean, what a great time to dive in. You've got almost 200 episodes waiting for you.
Even more with the bonus. We're well above 200.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying
we don't number our bonuses.
It's the bicentennial.
You don't remember the bonuses?
We don't number them.
Oh, then how do you find them?
They're there.
I know.
They're in the feed.
If you have a problem with our bonus episodes,
then
mixed
stuff
in
it.
Let us know,
Willie. What about your plugs?
Willie Bad Movies at Instagram. That's it.
All right, I'll do the same thing. 12 Forever. I do some voices on it. It's coming soon. Add it to your queue now. It's on Netflix. What's the other thing that I was doing? Oh, go see the damn things. touring around all this month.
Yeah.
That's all I got. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, well, I guess that's it.
Go watch Time Belt to Channel 101.
Oh, please do. There's so many good Channel 101 shows.
I wonder how pixelated it is at this point.
Oh, having shot it, very pixelated. Barely legible.
All right. Well, thanks again for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Bye.
Hey.